വിശുപാദ പരമഹംസ പരിപ്രാജനാചാര്യ അഷ്ടോത്തരശത ശ്രീ ശ്രീമാൻ അഭയ ചരണാരവിന്ദ ഭക്തിവേദാന്ത ഗോസ്വാമി മഹാരാജ് ശീല പ്രഭുപാദിക്ക് ജയമൃത്തില പ്രവിഷ്ട വിശുപാദ പരമഹംസ പരിപ്രാജകാചാര്യ അഷ്ടോത്തരശത ശ്രീ ശ്രീമാൻ ഭക്തസിദ്ധാന്ത സരസ്വതി മഹാരാജ് ശീല പ്രഭുപാദിക്ക് അനന്തകോടി വൈഷ്ണവൃന്ദയ്ക്ക് നാമാചാര്യ ശ്രീ ഹരിദാസ് ഠാക്കൂർക്ക് പ്രേം സഹോ ശ്രീകൃഷ്ണ ചൈതന്യ പ്രഭു നിത്യാനന്ദ ശ്രീ അദ്വൈത ഗദാധാര ശ്രീവാസാദിഗൗര ഭക്തവൃന്ദയ്ക്ക് ശ്രീ ശ്രീ രാധാകൃഷ്ണ ഗോപഗോപിനാഥ ശ്യാമകുണ്ട രാധാകുണ്ട് ഗിരിഗോവർദ്ധാനിക്ക് വൃന്ദാവൻ ധാമിക്ക് മായപ്പൂർ ധാമിക്ക് മധുരപുരി ധാമിക്ക് ജഗന്നാഥ്പുരി ധാമിക്ക് ദ്വാരകാപുരി ധാമിക്ക് ഗംഗമായിക്ക് യമുനമായിക്ക് തുളസിദേവിക്ക് ഭക്തിദേവിക്ക് സാമവേദ ഭക്തവൃന്ദയ്ക്ക് ഗോ പ്രേമനന്ദി ഓൾ ഗ്ലോറീസ് ടു അസംബിൾഡ് ബോഡീസ് ഓൾ ഗ്ലോറീസ് ടു അസംബിൾഡ് ബോഡീസ് ഓൾ ഗ്ലോറീസ് ടു അസംബിൾഡ് ബോഡി ഓൾ ഗ്ലോറീസ് ടു ശ്രീ ശ്രീ ഗുരുവൻ ഗൗരാംഗ ഓൾ ഗ്ലോറീസ് ടു ശീല പ്രഭുപാദ നമോ വിഷുപദായ കൃഷ്ണപ്രസായ ഭൂതലേ ശ്രീമതേ ഭക്തിവേദാന്ത സ്വാമിനിധി നാമിനേ നമസ്തേ സരസ്വദേവം ഗൗരവാണി പ്രചാരിണേ നിർവിശേഷ ശൂന്യവാദി പാശ്ചാത്യദേശധാരിണേ ഓം നമോ ഭഗവതേ വാസുദേവായ ഓം നമോ ഭഗവതേ വാസുദേവായ ഓം നമോ ഭഗവതേ വാസുദേവായ സംസാരസാഗരേ മഗ്നം ദീനം മാം കരുണാനിധി കർമ്മഗ്രാഹകഹീതാംഗം മാമുദ്ധര ഭവാർണവാദ് ശ്രീമദ്ഭാഗവതാഖ്യോയം പ്രത്യക്ഷ കൃഷ്ണമേവ ഹി സ്വീകൃതോസി മയാനാഥ മുക്ത്യർത്ഥം ഭവസാഗരേ മനോരഥേ മദീയോയം സഫല സർവദാ ത്വയാ നിർവിഘ്നേനൈവ കർത്തവ്യം ദാസോഹം തവ കേശവ ഭവേ ഭവേ യഥാ ഭക്തി പദയോർത്ഥവ ജായതേ തഥാ കുരുഷ്വ ദേവേശ നാഥസ്ത്വം നോ യത പ്രഭോ നാമ സങ്കീർത്തനം യസ്യ സർവപാപ പ്രണാശനം പ്രണാമോ ദുഃഖശമനം തം നമാമി ഹരിം പരം ജന്മാദ്യസ്യ യദോന്വയാദിതരതശ്ചാത്തേഷ്വഭിന്യസ്വരാൻ തേനേ ബ്രഹ്മഹൃദായ ആദികവയേ മുഹ്യം ധിയത്സൂരയ തേജോ വാരിമൃതം യഥാ വിനിമയോ യത്ര ത്രിസർഗോ മൃഷാ ധാമ്നാ സ്വേന സദാ നിരസ്തകുഹകം സത്യം പരം ധീമഹി ധർമ്മപ്രോജ്ജിത കൈതവോത്രപരമോ നിർമ്മത്സരാണാം സദാ വേദ്യം വാസ്തവമത്ര വസ്തു ശിവദം താപത്രയോന്മൂലനം ശ്രീമദ്ഭാഗവതേ മഹാമുനി കൃതേ കിം വാ പരൈരീശ്വര സദ്യോ ഹൃദ്യവരുദ്ധ്യതേത്ര കൃതിവി ശുശ്രൂഷുഭീ തൽക്ഷണാൽ നിഗമകൽപ്പതരോർഗലിതം ഫലം ശുഖമുഖാതമൃതദ്രവ സംയുതം ശിവത ഭാഗവതം രസമാലയം മുഹുരഹോരസികാ ഭുവി ഭാവുകാഃ സച്ചിദാനന്ദരൂപായ വിശ്വോൽപത്യാദിഹേതവേ താപത്രയ വിനാശായ ശ്രീകൃഷ്ണായ വയം നമഃ യം പ്രവ്രജന്തമനുവേദമവേദകൃത്യം വൈവാഹ്യനോ വിരഹകാതരമാജുഹാവ പുത്രേതി തന്മയതയത്തരവോഭിനേതു തം സർവഭൂതഹൃദയം മുനിമാനദോസ്മി യസ്വാനുഭാവമഖില ശ്രുതിസാരമേകം അധ്യാത്മദീപമതിതീർഷതാം തമോന്ധം സംസാരിണാം കരുണയാഹ പുരാണഗുഹ്യം തം വ്യാസസൂനം ഉപയാമി ഗുരും മുനീനാം നാരായണം നമസ്കൃത്യ നരം ചൈവ നരോത്തമം ദേവീം സരസ്വതീം വ്യാസം തതോ ജയമുദീരയേ കമനീയ കിശോരമുഗ്ധമൂർത്തേ കളവേണു കൊണിദാദൃതാനനേന്ദോഃ മമ വാചി വിജൃംഭതാം മുരാരേ മധുരീം നക്കണികാഭി കാവികാഭി നമാവോം വിഷ്ണുപദായ കൃഷ്ണപ്രസ്ഥായ ഭൂതലേ ശ്രീമദേ ഭക്തിവേദാന്ത സ്വാമിനിധി നാമിനേ നമസ്തേ സരസ്വതി ദേവീം ഗൗരവാണി പ്രചാരിണേ
നിർവിശേഷൂന്യവാദി പാശ്ചാത്യ ദേശധാരിണി ശ്രീമൽ ഗുരുചരണാരവിന്ദാഭ്യാം നമ വന്ദേ നന്ദവ്രജ സ്ത്രീണാം പദരേണുമഭീഷ്ണശാസാം ഹരിഗതോ ഗീതം പുനാദി ഭുവനത്രയം ഗോപീ ചരണാരവിന്ദ പരമാണവേ നമ പീതാംബരം കരവിരാജിത ചക്രശംഖം കൗമോദകീ സരസിജം കരുണാ സമുദ്രം രാധാസഹായമിതി സുന്ദരമന്ദഹാസം വാദാലയേശമനിശം പ്രതിഭാവയാമി കോമളം പൂജയൻ വേണു ശ്യാമളോയം കുമാരക വേദവേദ്യ പരം ബ്രഹ്മ വാസദാം പുരതോ മമ മൂകം കരോതി വാചാലം പങ്കും ലംഘയതി ഗിരിം യൽ കൃപാതമഹം വന്ദേ പരമാനന്ദമാധവം ശ്രീകൃഷ്ണായ നമ ശ്രീമതി രാധയായേ നമ സർവത്ര ഗോവിന്ദ നാമ സങ്കീർത്തനം ഗോവിന്ദ ഗോവിന്ദ ഓം പാർത്ഥായ പ്രതിബോധിതാം ഭഗവതാം നാരായണേന സ്വയം വ്യാസേന ഗ്രഥിതാം പുരാണമുനിനാം മധ്യേ മഹാഭാരതം അദ്വൈതാമൃതവർഷിണീ ഭഗവതീം അഷ്ടാദശാധ്യായിനീം അംബ ത്വാമനുസന്ധദാമി ഭഗവദ്ഗീതേ ഭവദ്വേഷിണീ നമോസ്തു തേ വ്യാസ വിശാലബുദ്ധേ പുല്ലാരവിന്ദായതമത്രനേത്രാം യേന ത്വയാ ഭാരതതൈലപൂർണ പ്രജ്വാലിതോ ജ്ഞാനമയ പ്രദീപാം പ്രപന്ന പാരിജാതായ തോത്രവേത്രൈകവാണൈ ജ്ഞാനമുദ്രായ കൃഷ്ണായ ഗീതാമൃതദുഹേ നമഃ സർവോപനിഷദോ ഗാവോ ദുഗ്ധാ ഗോപാലനന്ദന പാർത്ഥോ വത്സ സുധീർഭോക്താ ദുഗ്ധം ഗീതാമൃതം മഹത് വസുദേവസുതം ദേവം കംസച്ചാണൂരമർദനം ദേവകീ പരമാനന്ദം കൃഷ്ണം വന്ദേ ജഗദ്ഗുരും ഭീഷ്മദ്രോണതടാ ജയധ്രതജല ഗാന്ധാര നീലോൽപല ശല്യഗ്രാഹവതീ കൃപേണ വഹനീ കർണേന വേലാകുല അശ്വത്ഥാമാ വികർണ ഘോരമകരാ ദുര്യോധനാവർത്തിനി സോതീർണ ഖലു പാണ്ഡവൈരണനദീ കൈവർത്തക കേശവ ആരാശര്യവജ സരോജമലം ഗീതാർത്ഥഗന്ധോൽക്കടം നാനാഖ്യാനകേസരം ഹരികഥാ സംബോധനാബോധിതം ലോകൈ സജ്ജന ഷൽപദൈരഹരഹ പേവീയമാനം മുദാ ഭൂയാത് ഭാരതമംഗജ കലിമല പ്രധ്വംസിന ശ്രേയസേ മൂകം കരോതി വാചാലം പങ്കും ലംഘയതി ഗിരിം യൽ കൃപാതുമഹം വന്ദേ പരമാനന്ദമാധവം യം ബ്രഹ്മാവരുണീന്ദ്രരുദ്രമരുദസ്ത്വന്വന്തി ദിവ്യൈ സവൈർ വേദൈർ സംഗപദൈർ ക്രമോപനിഷദൈർ ഗായന്തിയം സമഗാഹം ധ്യാനാവസ്ഥിത തദ്ഗതേന മനസാ പശ്യന്തിയം യോഗിനോ യസ്യാന്തം ന വിദുസുരാസുരഗണൈ ദേവായ തസ്മൈ നമഃ സർവത്ര ഗോവിന്ദ നാമ സങ്കീർത്തനം ഗോവിന്ദ ഗോവിന്ദ So what we saw yesterday was what is called the power of adhyasam. How adhyasam is keeping us under its grip all the time, is it not? So this adhyasam, what we spoke yesterday, you have got what it means, isn't it? What that means. And due to that adhyasam, what is known as the identification with the body in one level, and from that develops the attachment to the bodily extensions apart from the body. Adhyasam begins with the body, but with the body, with the bodily extensions as well. And from that fear develops. Fear develops within. And as we saw yesterday, when this body itself is not real, and when the body itself is not real, that is why I am saying that in the Bhagavatam, when you pass through different cantos, beginning with this Parikshit's experience with Shukha Brahmarshi in the beginning, and finally at the end of 11th canto, Krishna says to Uddhava, Uddhava, even this body is not real. Only at the 11th canto when it is spoken, it will make some sense. In the first canto, if somebody says, body is not real, it is difficult to accept that, isn't it? That is why, how gradually that understanding builds up inside the unreal nature of this body. Body is not real. And Krishna confirms that at the end to Uddhava, that Uddhava, based on this body you have built up this whole thing. Is it not? Whereas the body itself is not real. What Krishna is saying there is that your adhyasam based on the body is what is called this maya. And all that is built up around this body is also maya. So therefore, when the body, when something happens to the body, it creates fear inside. Why? Because of the identification with the body, adhyasam. And how can that be if something that is happening to the body itself is not real? If that is the case, how can it be anything that happens to the bodily extensions? So that is the power of adhyasam, adhyasam's power. So it is all our vyavaharam in this world, all the transactions in this world is happening in this adhyasam state. Within the adhyasam we are operating all the time, isn't it? Identifying with the body, with the mind, with the intelligence, with the ego, senses, everything, and the bodily extensions, and all other things in this world, that is where the vyavaharam is happening. So, not only the activities of the body, but also the activities of the senses. Senses also. Body activities is one thing, but the sense activities as well. Then, what you can imagine, that the power of the senses gets weakened day by day. As you get older, the senses gets weaker, isn't it? But what do? We impose all that on us, on the real self, and says, I'm getting old, I can't see very well anymore, I can't hear anymore. This is adhyasam. That means you can see there that the activities of the senses also you are imposing on the self. Self has nothing to do with any of these things, but still, like you have imposed the activities of the body, deha dharmam, on the self, now you are imposing the indriya dharmam, or the activities of the senses on the self. On the self. Just like normally when we get older, that's what we do first thing, is can't see anything anymore properly, can't hear anything, can't remember anything, what I've said or not. So we say, in this way, one after the other, all the dharmam, activities of the body, activities of the mind, activities of the senses, everything you have imposed on this body, we will say that, that we say, oh, a few years ago I was okay, I could remember everything, or I could see very well, but now it is a good condition then, the condition has changed since then. Who is saying this? That is the question you have to ask. Who is saying this? Who knew the condition then and who knew the condition now? And that person hasn't changed. That person who was reporting about our bodily condition few years ago is not saying that his condition hasn't changed, but the bodily condition, he is saying the body is not functioning properly. But all this time we are identifying with the body. So when we do not know that person inside who was conscious of all these changes happening in the body, when we don't know him, then what will happen is that all the activities of the body is imposed on him. Or in other words, it's a very complicated thing this is, because you can see when we go further that deha dharmam, activities of the body, how unknowingly we move from our self into the body and become one with that. Aropanam of the deha dharmam, they call it. Superimposition of the bodily dharmam on the self. So, and they give this example, like just like if you heat the iron in the fire in a very high temperature, like the blacksmiths or the foundry, they do that. When they heat it, after some time if you look at the iron, it looks like fire. There is no iron there, isn't it? It is so hot, red hot, and it looks completely like another fire. So what has happened? The iron has taken the form of fire. Fire. And if you weigh that, say it's about 1 kilo or 5 kilograms, whatever it may be, is that weighing actually? Because all the dharmam of the fire has come to the iron, but the weight is still the iron. Weight is still the iron. So there, when you look at it, you can't separate the, straight away, you can't separate the fire and the iron. It becomes one. All the fire qualities has come to the iron. It has become hot, it is glowing, and it appears as though, in appearance, it looks exactly like fire. And similarly, so that means the two things have become one. Practically, iron and the fire has become one. Similarly, that all the bodily activities, mental activities, everything, all activities of the drishyam, you have put it on the drukha or drashtava, it is called. So, I have forgotten that the person who is seeing and observing all these things, I have forgotten him. Instead, I have identified myself with the drishyam, what I am seeing, which means body, mind, intelligence, ego, senses, everything. I become one with that. I left my identity there, who I am actually, really who I am, I left that. And I come and got involved with all the other things and I have become one with them, isn't it? So, because of this, what happens is that I never realize I am someone separate from all these things. That means I never come to realize that I am separate from this body, mind, intelligence, senses, prana, ego, everything. Because I left that position and I have come and became one with all these things called body, mind, intelligence. So unless and until somebody else points out to you that you are different from those things. Unless and until somebody comes and points out to you that you are different from this body, mind, intelligence, and ego and senses, you will not realize it. You will carry on living in the same way in that state. And therefore, but you can see the problem. Suppose two things outside gets mixed up. For example, say milk and water gets mixed up. Both are drishyam, is it not? Both are drishyam. So two drishyams gets mixed up. There is some way of separating that. If two drishyams gets mixed up, you can separate them. But if drik and drishyam gets mixed up, you can't separate it easily. See the difficulty? Two drishyams gets mixed up, you can separate them. Because both are drishyam, you can separate them. But if drik gets mixed up with drishyam, then it becomes difficult. And that is our problem. The drik itself is getting mixed up with drishyam. Two drishyams, you can take, for example, anything for that matter. Say for example, Rice and wheat got mixed up. Carefully you can separate them by sieving through it or different ways so you can separate them out. Is it not? So they are both, rice is a drishyam, wheat is also drishyam. So two things gets mixed up, you can separate them. That means two drishyams gets mixed up, it's possible to separate. But if drik itself gets mixed up with drishyam, how can you separate? That is the problem. That is our problem. So therefore, because in that case, both are objects. Which one? The rice and the wheat are both are objects. So that can be mixed up. But here, the person who is seeing that, he goes and gets mixed up with that. That means the activities of the body, deha dharmam, activities of the body, I am imposing on me. Activities of the mind, I am imposing on me. Activities of the pranan, I am imposing on me. And I forget that even the thoughts that's coming through my mind is all observed by that person who is as a witness inside. And that awareness, who is witnessing everything.
You yourself have to look at your own mind sometimes and see, you will say yourself, why am I thinking like this? Why all these bad thoughts come to my mind? Because mostly it's the bad thoughts that comes, isn't it? Good thoughts never comes. It's only mostly the bad thoughts comes. So when the bad thoughts comes, sometimes you feel, why these bad thoughts have come to my mind? What does that indicate? Indicates that there is somebody else who is observing the mind. Is it not? Sachirubena. That means he is looking at his own mind, separately from the mind, he is standing there and looking at his mind and he is thinking, why am I getting angry? Why am I getting lusty? Why am I getting greedy? Why am I feeling this hate? Why am I feeling this love? All these things, if you stand away and look at it, you will notice it straight away, why it is happening, isn't it? So, and without knowing that, what normally happens to us is, because we have gone and mixed up with the mind. We got mixed up with the mind. And then you start thinking, oh, I am happy now, I am in distress now. When that statement comes, you can take it that it's coming from the mind. It's coming from the mind. And similarly, I become, I have a lot of desires inside, I got angry, I became envy, all these things. So, according to the different emotions that is coming into the mind, you are going, keep on going, identifying with everything and getting mixed up with that. And that, the result of that, we experience in our life, in the form of different emotions. So, all this is thing, in the language of the Shastram, is called Ajnanam or Avidya. Ajnanam and Avidya is this. This is Ajnanam and Avidya. If you say to somebody, you are ignorant, that person will get offended, isn't it? That you are very ignorant. But this ignorance is not spoken in that sense. This ignorance is spoken in the sense, because in English we don't have an appropriate word for Avidya. Everything is ignorance there, isn't it? You are ignorant, you'll say. But it's not actually, this ignorance is the forgetfulness of your real self and identifying with the false body and the mind. That is the ignorance here. So that's why when we say that this identification with the body, with the mind, intelligence, all these things is called Ajnanam or Avidya. Ajnanam or Avidya. What is the function of intelligence? Function of intelligence is knowing and not knowing. Knowing and not knowing. For example, somebody has honored me, or somebody has insulted me, somebody has glorified me, or somebody has cursed me, or I have won, I have lost. All these things are the dharmam, or the activities of the intelligence. Intelligence feels all these things. So, here what happened to Parikshit? Parikshit thought, I am an emperor. Is it not? I am an emperor. Emperor means, the moment he thinks like that, I am an emperor, what has happened to him? That he has identified with his body. The moment he says, I am an emperor, that is how he thought when he put that snake on the neck of the sage, of Shamigrishi. When he put that snake around his neck, what did he think? He thought, I am an emperor of this planet. I have come here. Bharata Chakravarti, I am the emperor of this place. And he was expecting that when he got there, he expected Shamiga Rishi to be respectful to him and honor him and look after him. He expected that. Why? Because he identified with his body. Is it not? And I have come here, all I have asked for is a glass of water, and he couldn't even care for me. He didn't care even to reply me. He said, all these things, thoughts came into his mind at that time, because he was not on the spiritual platform. Parikshit himself was not on the spiritual platform. He fell into this identification due to adhyasam. Due to adhyasam. So you can see adhyasam happens to everybody, right from Parikshit, right up to the, what they say, from Lord Brahma, right up to the small ant on the ground, adhyasam is there. Adhyasam is there. So when he imposed on his body as his real identity, therefore, he got into trouble. Why did he feel like that? He felt, I am the emperor, and he doesn't care for me. He should have respected me, and even a glass of water he couldn't offer me, and he got angry. And he got angry, isn't it? Why did that happen? Because he imposed everything. Superimposition has happened there of the self on the body, or the body on the self, in other words. But why the same way? Why did it not happen to Shamigha Rishi? When he put this neck, dead snake around his neck, why did that not happen to Shamigha Rishi? Only to Parikshit? Parikshit got angry, got upset, and felt that he has not been respected, honored and everything. Even after being offended by this action, that Shamigha Rishi didn't get angry. Why? Because for Shamigha Rishi, this Dehabhimanam, or the identification with the body, has gone long back. Has left him long ago. He hasn't had it anymore. It has gone long ago. So therefore, even when he put the dead snake on the neck, around the neck, he didn't have any emotions inside. No emotions. That is the difference. You can see the difference between keep Parikshit and Shamigha Rishi side by side and look at them and their activities each, what they have done, how they have reacted to the same situations. So, he has already realized the truth. Who? Shamigha Rishi. He has already realized who he is. Once you have known who you are, then all these things won't have any effect. Till you know who you are, this is why I am saying, this self-realization is the most important thing. And that is what Bhagavatam is saying to us, unless and until you realize yourself, unless and until you realize yourself, you have to accept all the miseries of this world. Miseries of this world. It won't go. What we do, we go and try to correct everything else. See if we can correct others and correct us, correct the world. It doesn't work. Correction is required inside. Remember, Dakshinamurti Sotram says this. Where is the correction required? Inside me, not outside. Outside correction won't work. So how is Shamigha Rishi sitting there? Shamigha Rishi is in the liberated state, isn't it? Sthanatrayam, Parampraptam, Brahmabhudam, Avikriyam. Do not forget those words. Sthanatrayam means he is not in the three states we are in. Jagrat, Swapnam, Sushupti. He is not in that. He is gone. Sthanatrayam, Param, above all those three, which is the Turiyam state. Parampraptam, he has already got there. What else? Brahmabhudam. He knows who he is. He is Brahman. Brahmabhudam Prasannatma, that state. Avikriyam. And there is no interactions there. Pure Brahman has no interactions with anything in this world. So, that is why in Lalita Sahasranamam, if you look, you will find there Jagral Sutna Sushupni Sakshi Bodhaye Namo Nama. Paying reference of obeisances to Sri Parvati, saying like this, that you who are beyond this vacant state, dream state and the deep sleep, and remaining there as Sakshi Bhudeya Nama, and remaining as a witness to everything. That is how Sri Parvati is addressed there. So, in other words, she is that person. We give these different names to the witness. That's all it is. In Lalita Sahasranamam, it will be addressed as Sri Parvati. In Bhagavatam, it is addressed as Krishna. In Shubhranam, it is spoken as Lord Shiva. Whatever it may be, one who is witnessing all the activities in the vacant state, dream state, and the deep sleep. Jagral Sukna Sushupani Sakshi Bhude Namo Nama. As a witness to everything, to that personality, I pay my obeisances. That is how it is. If you remember, then she is also addressed as, in the Lalita Sahasranamam, she is called as Tripura Sundari. Tripura Sundari. So, and in the Bhagavatam also you will see a part called Tripura Dahanam. That is in the 7th canto. You will see that Tripura Dahanam story.
It is spoken in the story way in the Bhagavatam. What is that story? Story is this, that two demons, they worship Lord Shiva, and Lord Shiva gave them 3 aeroplanes made of iron, copper and gold or something. Three aeroplanes were given. And they started fighting, and Lord Shiva himself had to come and kill them later. What is these 3 aeroplanes? Jagrat, Swapnam and Sushupti. But that is spoken in a story form in the Bhagavatam in that way. And it is called Tripura Dahanam. Dahanam means you are burning it. All the 3 aeroplanes. That means you are getting out of these 3 states of vacant state, dream state and deep sleep. This is the prison. Our prison is this. These 3 state. Vacant state, dream state, and the deep sleep. So only if you go beyond these 3 states, you will be able to see that mother, the most beautiful mother, Tripura Sundari, as she is addressed there. You can only see her when you go beyond these 3 states. And that's why she is addressed there as Ananda Swarupini, Chinmayi and all that. So that means she is situated beyond these 5 sheets. What we call as Annamayam, Pranamayam, Manomayam, Jnanamayam, Anandamayam. So our problem is that we are caught up in these 5 sheets. And in there we are feeling pride about that and suffering within that, isn't it? So when the activities of the body and activities of the different sheath, as I said yesterday, that it's spoken in 2 different ways. In the Yoga Margam, Patanjali's Yoga Margam, it is spoken through the 5 sheath. Annamayam, Pranamayam, Manomayam, Vijnanamayam, Anandamayam. That's a sheath around us. In the Jnana Margam is the 5 material elements, earth, water, air, ether and fire around us. Is it not? So whichever way you look at it, it has got this fourth where the self is covered by these different sheets. So, and till we, as long as this imposition going on, there is no hope at all. It's always distress, no escape from this. And therefore, we have to first stop this imposition business. And in order to do that, inquiry must begin, and that is a self-inquiry or inquiring about the truth. And in the Shastram they call it as Alma and Alma Vivekam. The discrimination of the self and the non-self. Or in other words, also call it Drikka Drishya Vivekam. One thing, same thing spoken in different terminology. Drikka and Drishyam. That separation between Drikka and Drishyam. That Vivekam, that is its call. Or they also call in Yogam Panchakosha Vivekam, Avastatraya Vivekam. They say different names for all same thing. Avastatraya Vivekam means to know that vacant state, dream state and deep sleep is temporary and the real thing is Turiyam, the state above the 3. That is Avastatraya Vivekam. Panchakosha Vivekam means not to think, identify with any of the sheets. Annamayam, Pranamayam, Manomayam, Vijnanamayam, Anandamayam. Instead, to realize that is the Sakshi is me. The witness is me. That is all what is spoken in this chapter. And this whole process is Upanishad Paddhati. Upanishad Paddhati means it is the way Upanishads are constructed to prove this point. So, it is this same knowledge what is spoken here is again from now on, after the first canto, from second canto onwards, through different episodes called Prakaranam, through different Prakaranam, different personalities are coming and advising to us. You can see that in the Bhagavatam. Vidura advising, Sri Narada Maharshi advising, Maitreya Maharshi advising. So different personalities, rishis, and sages and devotees,
jnanis, one after the other, throughout Bhagavatam from second canto onwards, this knowledge is being taught through their instructions, isn't it? You will see that from second canto, Shuka Brahma Maharshi begins first. And then it keeps flowing. Narada Maharshi comes there. Then Lord Brahma comes there. And then Narada Maharshi, Brahma, and then it quietly moves on to the fourth canto, the Trayagam, where Lord Shiva comes, Sri Parvati comes. They are all teaching us, it's one and the same knowledge in different ways. In different ways. So, therefore, and after hearing all these personalities, eventually Parikshit got established in the truth. Established in the truth. And he came to the same standard as Shamigha Rishi. He came up to the same level as Shamigha Rishi, and Parikshit arrived there. This is one scene. You leave it there now. So, that is how it is, Bhagavatam. That starting from second canto onwards, different great personalities are coming and teaching this one science in their own way. That's what they have done. In their own style, they have taught this one science in their own style to the somebody else. And that is the story from second canto right up to 12th canto. It is a story. That's how it is. Krishna talks in detail to Uddhava, and Mahavishnu talks to Durvasav in another way, and similarly Krishna talks to Mujugunda in one way, Brahma talks to Narada in another way, Maitreya talks to Vidura in a different way. Everybody is speaking in a different ways, but the message is the same. There is no change in the message. There is no change in the message. Message is the same. But their idea is, in whichever way if it is spoken, it will get into our head. That's why it is written like that. Somehow or the other they want, you will never know which one will hit you. Either it could be Maitreya's instructions to Vidura. This is why I am saying, unless you keep reading Bhagavatam, all these things won't happen. When you keep reading, you will, little by little, you will start feeling some effect from that, and you will start realizing that, why did Maitreya say this to Vidura? Or in another place, why Krishna said this to Mujugunda in the particular way. So, in every instructions, you will find this gopis' conversations with Krishna. Krishna also says the same thing to gopis. Krishna says to Uddhava later, Nimi, talk Navayogis. Navayogis talking to Nimi. The same message. Message has not changed. So, from second canto, right up to 12th canto, it is the same message that is transmitted, but presented in different ways to suit that listener or to the audience who was there. So we leave at that now. Now let us look at the little boy who was involved in all these things. Who? Sringi. Sringi's history. Let's look at him. Sringi, after he cursed Parikshit, you know what he did? He cries. Little boy, 5-6 years old, goes to his father and says to the father like this, as though he has done a big thing in life. That's his mood at that time. I've done a big thing in my life. So, father saw his mood, and son says to him, father, this king Parikshit came here, and he insulted you. Why? He hasn't known any of these things. The king didn't know, Shamigha Rishi didn't know anything. Parikshit came and put the dead snake on the neck and gone away. Sringi came and took it out and threw it away. So Sringi is saying to Shamigha Rishi that king has come, Parikshit had come here, and he has done this on to you. So Shamigha Rishi asked Sringi, what have you done then? He said, I gave him back a good one. Sringi is saying to the father. Sringi says to the father, I did the right thing. He said, I taught him a lesson. That was his mood. I taught him a lesson. Shamigha Rishi got shocked. He says to him, what did you say to him? He said, I told him, 7th day from today, Tatshagava will bite him and he will die. I've cursed him, he said. So, this child, 5-6 years old, Shringi, he has got the same problem what Parikshit has got. What is that? Adhyasam. You see that? When you have adhyasam, this is what will happen. Exactly the same mistake what Parikshit has done, Shringi also did the same mistake. That means, as far as Shringi is concerned, he is also in the same state of ignorance like Parikshit is. No difference at all. The power for curse has come from his tapashakti. That is a different issue. But the adhyasam is still there, present in him. So, in these three, there is only one person who doesn't have adhyasam. That is Shamigarishi. Shamigarishi is the only person who doesn't have adhyasam. And Parikshit is the symbol or the embodiment of that ajnanam, total ignorance. Parikshit is the symbol of that. And that Parikshit is us. All of us are Parikshit. This is Bhagavatam looking at it like that. We are all actually the Parikshit, the people with total ignorance inside. Just like Krishna spoke to Arjuna Bhagavad Gita, keeping Arjuna as a nimittam, isn't it? As a responsible listener. Using Arjuna as an object, Krishna spoke Bhagavad Gita to him. Similarly, but it was not spoken for Arjuna for the benefit of the world. But Arjuna was only a nimitta matram bhava savyasachin, says in the Bhagavad Gita. So, in the similar way, here, keeping Parikshit in the forefront, these things, Veda Vyasa is talking to us. That's how you have to see Bhagavatam. That keeping Arjuna in the front, Krishna spoke Bhagavad Gita to us. Similarly, keeping Parikshit in the front, Shukha Brahmarshi is talking Srimad Bhagavatam to us, because we are the actual Parikshit. We will see why we are Parikshit. We are not different than Parikshit. The same level of ignorance like Parikshit had at the beginning is in us. Isn't it? And Srimad Bhagavatam is nothing but like Bhagavad Gita, keeping Parikshit in the forefront, spoke Bhagavatam for us. So, and we are that Parikshit. And that clarity we must have. So, just like Parikshit got Dehabhimanam, isn't it? Parikshit identified with the body and he acted in that way. Similarly, Shringi also identified with his body and he acted in that way. There is no difference at all in their actions. Because Parikshit identified with his body due to that adhyasam, and he acted in a particular way. Took the dead snake and put it on the neck and walked out from there angrily. Shringi, due to his adhyasam, due to that ignorance in him, he cursed Parikshit and felt happy about it. Is there any difference between the two? If you look at them, is there any difference? The only person out of these three, it's only Shamigarishi who did not get affected and no influence at all on him. Why? Because he has gone beyond these three states of vacant state, dream state and the deep sleep. And Shringi's mood was, he has insulted my father, hasn't he? I will show to him what I can do. That was his mood. So this revengeful nature and ready to react like this, I will teach a lesson, or that revenge inside comes from that ignorance inside, ajnanam or avidya inside, and also due to the dehabhimanam, identification with the body. That means Shringi also didn't know who he is. Parikshit also didn't know who he is. Only person who knew here who he is Shamigarishi. Shamiga knew who he is. Parikshit didn't know who he is. Parikshit thought, I am the king, I am this, I am that. Shringi also thought in the same way. So, So this knowledge of the self those who have heard about the self and those who have not heard about the self, they are different, is it not? Those who have heard about the self and those who have not heard about the self is different. So this ajnanam or ignorance which was there in Parikshit is present in Sringi as well. But Shamika Rishi never thought, because he has no identification with the body, he never thought the king has insulted me. Never thought like that. We must look, keeping all the three now. You should keep Parikshit, you should keep the little one Sringi in the middle, and Shamika Rishi, and look at each one of them and see the differences between the three. Parikshit is in ignorance because he identified with this body. And you saw the action that came from that. Sringi in ignorance, identification with the body, and see the result that has come from that. Shamika Rishi, not in identification with the body, and therefore, in spite of all what has happened, completely unaffected by that. Three personalities in three different ways, isn't it? Not only that, Shamika Rishi was, because he was situated in that state, therefore, he was able to chastise his son. What did he say? He told his son, what you have done is a wrong thing. This is what a father should do to the son. If he knows that something has gone wrong, not that we'll all join together and become a fighting spirit inside. That's not good. When something has gone wrong, tell them that. That is a wrong thing that you have done. And Shamika Rishi had the courage to say this to Sringi. What you have done, it's a wrong thing. Because he says to him, how could he say that? Because he was in that state, he could speak like that. He says to Sringi like this, Parikshit is the king and he is ruling this world. Only because of his good administration, people like you and me feel protected to engage in spiritual life and feels sheltered by him even though we live in this forest. Where do we get the protection? Because the king is there. We have somebody to go and complain about it if we want to, isn't it? Therefore, in Shandi, we are able to perform these austerities and penances, and what you have done by cursing him is one of the worst things to do. He chastised him and told him that he did the wrong thing. Not only that, he said something more than that. He told them like this, that all people who are in the bodily concept of life, they will be affected by the activities of the body. Sharira dharmam, whoever got dehabhimanam, they will be affected by the activities of their body, activities of their mind, everything. That means, he was saying that hunger, thirst, ragam, dvesham, all these things will be present in them. The father is teaching the child. It will be present in them. It will not go, he said. As long as they have dehabhimanam, and once there is dehabhimanam, sharira dharmam, the activities of the body, activities of the mind will be present in them and they will act like this. You can't do anything about it. Who taught this? Shamika Rishi taught this to Sringi. Don't expect anything better than that from them. This is what he told him. Don't expect anything better than that. And that is the very nature of Rajogunam in a person. Particularly, he said, Dehabhimani, Ajnani, and king means Rajoguna Pradhani. In a king, particularly, you will observe these things. He is Rajoguna Pradhani. There is Rajogunam in him. And when he has Rajogunam in him, mood of passion, he will be Dehabhimani. He will be identifying with his body and he will be in ignorance. And that is why he went to hunt in the forest. He said, this is all the... How, see how well Shamika Rishi has analyzed the person. that because all these modes are present in him, don't expect anything better than this. He will act like this. That is his very nature because of that modes in him. And he went to hunt. He couldn't get the water there. And what happened was, he felt thirsty. And when he didn't get water, he got distressed. He got angry. And you shouldn't take it very seriously. See how father instructs the son in the proper way. That don't take it seriously, because you should not punish him for this. Our responsibility, duty, he's saying, our duty is to tolerate this. They will act like this. Don't expect anything better from that. They will act in that way. But our duty, we are not in that level. We are as that we have to forgive them and tolerate their weaknesses. Tolerate their weaknesses. When Shamigrishi said we, what does he mean? What he means is, we means those people who are situated in the knowledge of the soul or who are developing spiritually. That's what he's referring to, we. Those who are in the platform of the soul. That's what he's pointing at. Those who are on the platform of the soul, who are not identifying with the body, their duty is to forgive them. Their duty is to forgive them. And don't expect anything more than that from Dehabhimani, he said. Shamigrishi says to Sringi, don't expect anything better than that from the Dehabhimani. Dehabhimanam creates this problem in all of us. And so he says, they can only behave like this. They can't behave better than this. Those who are in the Dehabhimanam, identification with the body, they can only behave like this. They can't behave better than that, he says to him. And who is he saying this? Saying to us. He's teaching us all these things. The Sringi, Parikshit and Shamigrishi and all, personality is brought into it to get the message across to us. That's what we have to look at. This is how you study Bhagavatam. Oh, no. 5,000 years ago there was a Rishi staying in the forest called Shamiga. And there was a boy called Sringi. And there was a king called Parikshit. So Parikshit did all this story. That is no use. It's all addressing us directly, but spoken in such a way, Upanishad's message brought through these three personalities to us. So that if we get some benefit from this, that's our profit. If we didn't get any benefit from that, all this Bhagavatam time you have spent is all waste. That's all it is. Whatever time you have spent on Srimad Bhagavatam is just a waste. If you haven't got this message to ourselves, and if you are not able to take it on board in our life. That is the message. That is how Bhagavatam is studied and understood by the rishis, and that is what they expected us to do. If it is just a story that 5,000 years ago something happened, there are so many story books. Better than Bhagavatam, there are much better story books. Then, is it not? But if this message is not going inside and not able to accept it and still saying that this is not right, then what can we say more? So this is our weakness. This is our weakness. You will see this in the Ramayanam also, in the Bhagavatam also. When referring to Ramachandra, Ramayanam is full of instructions like this. Martyavatarasyuha martyashikshanam. Only to teach us they have come. All incarnations are for teaching the human society how to live properly in this world, how to behave properly in this world. It to improve our condition, for all this has been spoken. That is how you have to see this. Not the other way. Not that, otherwise it will become a joke, the whole thing. That Harry Potter can write better stories than Bhagavatam. If it was only that. It was just stories, was it behind it. So, important point is that when we read Bhagavatam, the rishis were not people who had their eyes on little things. They are seeing in a much more deeper level that if human society has to get benefited, elevated from there, and stop this arguing, fighting, quarreling each other, if that dirtiness has to go from inside, some good message like this has to go inside. Otherwise it will not happen. All the way through politics and spiritual life also. What's the benefit from then? So that is what he is saying here. Then Shamigrishi says to Sringi that when the ajnani means ignorant person, when they are behaving like this, that jnanis knows this, that ajnanis are like this, they will behave like that. So how do they jnani react to it? When the ajnani is behaving like this, how does a person in knowledge react to that? Because it will be exactly opposite. Because he knows that one person, he is caught up in the adhyasam, what we spoke about. If he is caught up in the adhyasam, the person who is caught up in the adhyasam, he behaves in one particular way. The Shamigarishi or any jnani for that matter, who is free and released from the adhyasam, he behaves in a different way. So one who is in adhyasam, he behaves in one way. One who is outside the adhyasam, he behaves in a different way. He behaves in a different way. So the intention of Srimad Bhagavatam is to take us all and bring us to that state, or like Shamigarishi, to that state where you are free from the adhyasam. Where you are free from the adhyasam. So what is required for that? That is where Krishna is saying, Bhagavatam is saying there, that bhakti is required. That is where bhakti is necessary. Unless one has developed, cultivated bhakti and complete renunciation or detachment from the life in this world, or giving up all the attachment to the material happiness, and vairagyam in other words, detachment from everything, and to that person, only such a person will be able to come to this freedom from adhyasam. Freedom from adhyasam. So, therefore, therefore, here he says that a person, to what extent he should be detached, he should have lost all attachment to not only to this world, even to the heavenly planets. Because in the Shastram you read about the higher level of happiness. This world is called Karma Bhumi, where you have come to perform karma, isn't it? Here you have to perform karma to get happiness. Unless you engage in karma, you won't get the result. And only through karma you can create happiness here. In the heavenly planets, without working you can have happiness. So naturally, attraction will be there more than here. Without, here you have to endeavor so hard, and even after endeavoring so hard, sometimes you don't get it. Very, very little, meager happiness you get here. Whereas in the heavenly planet, once you have got there, without any effort, because of the very higher standard of life there, they have all the happiness automatically provided there. So this is called Karma Bhumi, and the heavenly planets are called Bhoga Bhumi. For Bhogam, it is only meant for Bhogam, only for enjoyment. Here, what is Bhagavatam saying to us? Unless you have become so renounced that you are not attracted by Karma Bhumi, not attracted by even Bhoga Bhumi, only then you are ready for taking Srimad Bhagavatam in the hand, to study Srimad Bhagavatam. Because otherwise it won't make any sense. That's what he is saying here. And in the Jnani's language, they call it as Iha Amutra Bhala Bhoga Viragam. Iha Amutra Bhala Bhoga Viragam. Iha means here, Amutra Bhala Bhoga Viragam. And the results of our activities, no attachment to that. So to such an extent, not only the happiness of this world, but even the happiness of the heavenly planets, one should not get attracted by that. And what that means is that you, no matter wherever you go in this world, ultimately it all means that much. There is not much of a happiness anywhere. So, and that is why, that is that words you can see from the words of Parikshit there. He said, when he said this, let the kingdom go, let all my wealth go. And finally he says, let my body also go. To that extent he was willing to, he got detached from everything. A real nature of a proper vairagyam, one who has built up properly. This is the symptom of that person, Parikshit. proper vairagyam had happened to him. People always have this question, isn't it, about vairagyam. What does vairagyam mean? Vairagyam means that generally our vairagyam is that when we get kicked a lot in this world by the material nature, prakriti, or various problems in this life, difficulties with this, that and the other. So when these things happen, for some time we feel a certain detachment from the world. That is what is called Shmashana Vairagyam. The Vairagyam that has come from the cemetery. When you see a death happens, or when somebody is suffering heavily, a certain kind of Vairagyam comes. For example, war goes on and people suffering a lot. When you see that, you feel some kind of Vairagyam inside with this world. That is not the Vairagyam spoken here. Proper Vairagyam is through proper knowledge. Proper knowledge is this, that after observing Shastra, you don't need Shastram for that. Shastram is telling us this is what it is. After observing the life in this world and our experiences of this world and observing other things in this world, you have come to understand that none of this is worthwhile struggling for. You come to an understanding like that. That everything ends up in frustration. Everything ends up in, ultimately, in depression or unhappiness. Because you look after, starting from your own body, you look after your body so well. Provide everything for the body. Working 8, 10 hours, 12 hours a day. And you have to listen to all kinds of people, what they tell you to do. You listen to all that, all kinds of things. But you tolerate all that for the sake of the body, because you got to be maintaining the body. But has the body got any gratitude? Body doesn't have any gratitude. Even though you look after the body so well, at some time body gives you so much trouble. That's body. What about the mind? It's worse. That even if you, people are saying, even after reading Bhagavatam, chanting 16 rounds, mind is giving trouble. So what do you do about the mind? So who is grateful here? You are doing service to body, service to mind, service to your intelligence, servicing everybody. And of course, if your own body and mind is like that, what gratitude do you expect from the bodily extensions? If the body and the mind is not showing any gratitude, what gratitude do you expect from the bodily extensions? You cared for, then they cry at the old age, I've done this for my family. So many times every old man is crying in this world. I looked after my family, worked all my life, paid all my taxes, I did this, I did that. Old age, that's what happens. You keep going back to the history and keep repeating everything, the wonderful things what you have done in your life, how you have acquired wealth for satisfying the needs of the family, how you have looked after them, brought them up. Does the family care? They go their way. They know what they have to do. They'll go their way. So if the body is not showing any gratitude, what gratitude do you expect from the bodily extensions? They're all the bodily extensions, isn't it? So analyzing all these things, a certain understanding has to come, and that's called Vairagyam. So you're observing this in everybody's life. If you look around, you will see there is no perfect thing called perfect family life. We can forget that. That doesn't exist. It never existed any time. Unless it is Atriyan and Asuya or Vasishtha and Arundhati. Maybe in their case it has happened. Not in this human species. It's not possible. Here it's all patching up all the time. Here, tolerating each other. That's all. So that's why he's saying here that Parikshit came to that realization that it is not worthwhile chasing or pursuing anything in this world or in the heavenly planets. So therefore, that such a person, he is called Parikshit. He is called Parikshit. Therefore, you can see there, from the moment we wake up in the morning till we go to sleep in the night, or the day we were born till we die, isn't it? Till we die, what's happening? That we are absorbed in the thoughts of anatma. All we are thinking about is about the body and the bodily problems and bodily needs and bodily requirements. So persons who are absorbed in the body and who are absorbed in the bodily extensions, and to fulfill all their needs, how do you expect them to have any shanti or sukham or samadhanam in their life? That's what they want. They want shanti. And they are thinking that providing, working hard, earning all these things and supplying the body and the bodily extensions, you will feel that peace inside, isn't it? So, for that, you can see, if you look at it this way, for these reasons only, we buy new things, replace the old things. We replace the old things with the new things as time goes on. And similarly, we change our place where we live, one house to another. When you can see the happiness in a householder when he sells his old house and moves to a new house. He'll be in bliss for the first few days. This is all our happiness in this world. Selling the house, buying another property, getting inside there. And then husbands are changing the wives, thinking that that may make him happy. Wife is changing the husband, thinking that that will make him happy. All this is the same self-inquiry. Instead of inquiring about the self, you are inquiring about the non-self. And finding happiness in all these things, isn't it? So, father and mother, because you can't change them, we go and take them, put them in the care home, and say that, let them be happy there, and that headache is over. This is how that is. So, you can see here that, and what else we do, this is our life in this world. We travel from one place to another place, thinking we will be happy in the other place, isn't it? That's why we happen, particularly with the Indians, that's what's happening. We go to Europe, then from Europe to America, America to Australia, Australia to back to New Zealand, New Zealand to back to Europe. All, so many families have moved around like this, say, knowing very well that we don't know where we will be happy. We still don't know where we will be happy. Will that be happiness in America or in Europe or in Australia? Whatever it may be. So you can see everyone is looking for some happiness. Happiness, which has to come from the self. But whatever we have done till now and what we are doing now is exactly the same thing. That hasn't changed very much. Through different experiences, we are inquiring this happiness. So that person who is conducting these experiments, the word experiments in Shastram is called Parikshanam. That Parikshanam, one who conducts these experiments, is called Parikshit. This is the spiritual side of this 19th chapter. The spiritual side of this chapter is that one who is conducting experiments in this world looking for happiness by changing everything and trying to find some happiness or experimenting with this world, he is called Parikshit. He is called Parikshit. So now you see, what did the rishis gave the name to Parikshit? He is called Vishnuradha. Isn't it? He is called, you remember in the last chapter you will find, Shuka Brahmarshi was called Brahmaradhan and Parikshit was called Vishnuradha. Vishnuradha and Brahmaradha. Brahmaradha is talking to Vishnuradha. What, this is the name given to him by the rishis, who was protected by Vishnu, Mahavishnu, Krishna. So, one who has been protected by Krishna, he is called Vishnuradhan. Are we not also Vishnuradhas? You see, when Parikshit was inside the womb, Brahmastram was sent by Ashwathama to kill him. Krishna got inside and protected him. Similarly, when we were in the womb of our mother, who protected us? Both are protection in the womb. Inside the womb of our mother, when we were in the womb of our mother, who protected us? We didn't know anything. Complete ignorance it was. We were lying inside. Food was provided. Shelter was provided. And in all activities, mother had to think a lot about the child inside. Is it not? So she also has to make sure, provide all the help that's necessary for the baby inside. But it is not the mother. Krishna, through the mother, protected the child. Just like Parikshit was protected within the womb. So therefore, this word Parikshit completely applies to us all. Every one of us. We always say this about Parikshit. Parikshit was protected by Krishna inside the womb. Therefore, he is called Vishnuradhan. who protected us then, and who is protecting us even now? Who is protecting us even now? The breathing is going on. Who is keeping that system going? Who is digesting the food? Who is giving the... That's why Dhruva Maharaj, when he saw Krishna, what did he say? Yonda pravishyam mamacha mimam prasuptam sanjeevaya tagila shakti dharasudham nam anyamsha hasta charana shravana togadin pranan namo bhagavade purushaya dubhyam. This is how he starts the prayers itself. Who gives the power to speak? Who gives the power to listen? Who gives the power to memorize? Who gives the power to see? Who gives the power to smell? All these senses are nothing but holes in the body. But due to presence of Krishna inside, they function. Otherwise they won't function, would they? So who is protecting us now? Who protected us in the womb of the mother? We forget all that, isn't it? We say Parikshit is Vishnuradhan. We are not Vishnuradhan. We are also Parikshit. There is no difference between Parikshit and us. That is why in the Srimad Bhagavatam, Vedavyas constructed this episode in such a way that the message gets into our heart seriously. So, when Parikshit was protected, similarly, for 10 months, who protected us inside the womb? For 10 months. So, and who protects us even now? But we forget that easily, isn't it? Why do we forget? Because of ajnanam or avidya, which in other words we call it as maya. Which we call it as maya. So, our protection, that means our body, our mind, our intelligence, our senses, prana and the life air, all being protected by Vishnu. All by Vishnu. In other words, we are all Vishnu Rathas. Now, what was the mistake that Parikshit has committed? What was the mistake? That we saw earlier that Shamigha Rishi was Sthanatrayat Paramprapthaṁ Brahma Bhūtam Avikriyam. That was what, how Shamigha Rishi is presented in the Bhagavatam. That person whose mind is, who is actually identifying with the Paramatma or the witness, who has gone beyond the three states, Jagrat, Sopnam and Sushupti. Beyond these three states, who exist as a witness, with whom, who has identified, he is Shamigha Rishi, is Shamigha Rishi. And on him, it is on that person, Parikshit has gone and put the dead snake. Is it not? Has gone and put the dead snake. Now, this dead snake is the symbol or the representative of Jadam. Jadam means dead matter. Dead matter. And that dead matter or dead snake is this body, what we have. Inside all of us, who is present there? That Paramatma or the witness or the Sakshi of everything. He is present inside. He is present inside. And he is actually Shamigha Rishi. In that state. Don't look into the body. Don't look into Shamigha Rishi's body. Shamigha Rishi's consciousness you should look at. He has already reached the state of Paramatma's consciousness. That means he is not in the three states of vacant state, dream state and the deep sleep. He has gone beyond those three states. And that means he is in the witness state, which is the Turiyam state. That means Avastatrayam, he has gone beyond. Sthanatrayam Paramprapthaṁ Brahma Bhūtaṁ Avikriyam. That is how it is spoken about him. So, Shamigha Rishi, who is gone beyond the three states, he is the one who is in the state of Paramatma or Sakshi. That vastu is present inside all of us in the form of Atma or Paramatma present inside. What have we done? We have gone through our karma, we have gone and acquired this dead body, this dead snake called this body, and we have put this dead body on that Paramatma inside. So therefore, we have done what Parikshit has done. Is it not? If you think through this, that whatever Parikshit has done, that's exactly what we have done. this dead snake is nothing but a representation of this body. This body is like a dead snake it is. But what we did, he went and put this dead snake around the neck of Shamik Rishi. In the same way, the Shamik Rishi who is sitting inside is the Paramatma Krishna. We brought this dead body, or call this gross body, and brought it and put it on that Shamik Rishi inside. Shamik Rishi inside. So you can see the close affinity with this story and our life in this world. We have done exactly what Parikshit has done. We worked hard, created a lot of karmam, karma vasana, prarabdham, everything, created this body, brought that body and put it on top of this, because on its own normally the self is independent. Swarad, it says, isn't it? In the Bhagavatam begins with that word, swarad. Janmadhyase yadoinvayadadaras chateshu abhinya swarad. Swarad means, by his nature, he is totally independent. But on that independent swarad, we have created a body and put it on top of him, like the dead snake. What Parikshit has done to Shamik Rishi. But Shamik Rishi was not affected. Similarly, inside that person is not affected still. But in the process of, by putting this on top of him, what has happened? This person who is present there, whose we created jiva from that. Jiva came out and we started identification with the gross body, mind, intelligence, everything. So here you can see, so this body is a representation of that dead snake. Shamik Rishi is the Atma inside. Parikshit is all of us. Parikshit is all of us. And so in reality, we are all beyond these three, beyond the body, beyond the mind, everything. And we are actually the witness in reality. And we are also witness to the avasthatrayam, isn't it? Avasthatrayam means jagrat, sapnam, sushupti. We are witness to that. We can see ourselves, these three states coming and going in us. Of course, in a mixed state it is most of the time. It's not pure waken state. Half waken, half dream, or half dream, half sleep, deep sleep state, like that. So it's always in a mixed state, but generally in its pure existence. If you look into Ekadasi Skandam, Krishna mentions all these things to Uddhava, that jagral sapna sushuptinja nuvrutto gunavurtaya sakshal vilakshano jiva sakshitvena vinischida. That sakshi state exists in all of us, but only thing is, only rare occasions we experience that sakshi state in us, when you are not too much affected by the modes of nature. That time you will get that clarity inside that you are a sakshi. Because modes of nature is also changing in us all the time, is it not? So when the modes of nature are not very strong, or satunam is predominating, at that time you will observe that we are sakshi. That is why when you say, I am getting angry now, if you are saying that you are getting angry now, there must be somebody else who knows that you are getting angry, isn't it? So that is how you are able to say like that. But normally it doesn't happen like that. Normally you get angry and you burst straight away. It happens. The bomb goes. Which is a different state. But when you have that sakshi state, you will observe that getting angry. And those who are in the personalities like Shamik Rishi was gone beyond the three states, they don't even get angry about it. Because why? It cannot touch the... They are situated in that state. So that is why. So this person, is he this dead matter or is he the living force inside? Actually, I am the living force, is it not? But unfortunately what happens is, in the vacant states, the body becomes the important thing. And automatically the body and its bodily experiences and the experiences of this world, all that becomes important in the vacant state. The body and the body's experiences and the experiences of this world all predominates everything. When you go into the dream state, all that goes away and another world comes in the dream state, is it not? Another world comes in. That world that comes in that dream state will depend upon the samskaram of that person. Depends on the samskaram of the person. That means according to the way his subtle body is. Because that dream state is produced by the subtle body. Vacant state is produced by the gross body. And dream state is produced by the subtle body. So whatever you are experiencing in that dream state will depend on, will give you a very close indication of the state of your subtle body. So now you can analyze. Don't go and ask others, but analyze your own self, what you see in the dream. So Kanji, Paramacharya mentions this, that the subtle body was created only for this purpose, it seems. I don't know where that is, where Shastram, where it says, but Paramacharya's statement is like this. He said that subtle body was created only to show to you that it will indicate to you some knowledge of your subtle body, what the dream state. Otherwise, if you ask the question, why subtle bodies, why do we need, why don't you have only two state, vacant state and sleep too? Why there is one in the middle like this? That question comes, isn't it? So, the interesting answer to that is, there must be some reference somewhere, otherwise he wouldn't say that. But the fact he's saying this, that this subtle body, purpose of creation of the subtle body, is a very good indication to show to us where we stand in our spiritual life. So, now we can sit home and think, what all dreams every night is coming? And based on the dream, you can analyze yours. You don't have to go and ask somebody else, guru or anybody else, where am I in spiritual life? People always ask this. Am I making advancement? They ask. Don't ask anybody, ask yourself inside. The subtle body will tell you a lot about your spiritual state of affairs. It can indicate to you. That is the best indicator rather than hearing from somebody else. And you will also know whether you will go back home, back to Godhead. Nobody else has to come and give you a certificate at the time of death. That is how good that is, Krishna's system. It works so well. So therefore, here, he's saying here that, that now interesting thing. If you go into that dream state, did we have the dream through the body? We didn't have the dream through the body, is it? For example, suppose after this class you have gone home and you are sleeping tonight. While sleeping, you are seeing this class in the dream. Class in the dream. But the body is lying at home. You are seeing this class in the dream. So, who came here to see the class? That is how you look at the dream state. In the dream state, when you are at home, body is lying there and you are here. Who came here? That question you have to ask. So, the mind had managed to escape from that body and come here. But, when you came here, mind came here, you say, I was here, not at home. You don't say like that, isn't it? So, you can see from that, in vacant state, the body is there, and in the, I am there, and in the dream state also, I am there. Now you leave these two states and go to the deep sleep state, sushupti. What happens there? There is no body, isn't it? There is no mind either, because there is no dream. Where have they all gone? Body has gone, mind is also gone. And there is no gross body. Not only that there is no gross body, that world, what's created by the mind in the form of the dream, that also don't exist. Is it not? That also doesn't exist. And suppose it was raining heavily with thunder, lightning, everything. And when I wake up in the morning, somebody tells me there was a heavy thunder in the night, there was lightning, there was heavy rain. I'm saying, I didn't know anything what happened. I didn't know anything what happened. So what does that mean? That means the deep sleep state, even that I, whom I'm always talking about, I, ahangaram, even he has gone. Is it not? In the gross, that is how you look at this way, three states. In the vacant state, the body is there. When you move on to the dream state, the body is gone. When you go into deep sleep, the dream body has gone and the mind has gone. And in the deep sleep state, even the ahangaram has gone. It is the all of us are called actually ahankaram. We are actually ahankaram. We are not in our present state. The right way to call us, each one of us, is ahankaram 1, ahankaram 2, ahankaram 3. That will be the right way to address all of us. Rather than giving some beautiful names like to us, all names have no meaning. If you, based on our state of mind and state of life in this world, the right way to point out each one of us is ahankaram 1, ahankaram 2, ahankaram 3. Because that's what we are. Our identification is with ahankaram at the moment, is it not? So even that ahankaram dissolves in the deep sleep state, mind gets dissolved, body goes away, everything happens. And it is this ahankaram that is what has gone and caught hold of the body, the intelligence, the mind, everything. It is this ahankaram has gone and caught hold of everything. That is why if you see, look into the creation also, what do you find? In the creation process, you will observe this, that when the creation happened, Brahma says, creation, Mahatattvam comes, and from Mahatattvam comes Ahamtattvam. That Ahankaram is called Ahamtattvam. That Ahamtattvam breaks up into three, Satvikam, Rajasam, Tamasam. We will see that in the third canto. From Satvika Ahankaram came the mind. From Rajasa Ahankaram came the senses, and the Tamasa Ahankaram came the body. Body, mind, and the senses. All three had come from mind and intelligences together. They are not separate when they talk about that. Satya Ahankaram, Rajasa Ahankaram, Tamasa Ahankaram. Ahankaram breaks up into three. So from Ahankaram, so Ahankaram is the father of all these things. And from Ahankaram, so it is Ahankaram who goes and identifies with everything, with the body, with the mind, everything. So, and it is this Ahankaram who makes us feel that you are happy, you are unhappy. And it is this Ahankaram who is looking for a solution in this world, how to become happy. And it is this Ahankaram who is going and dissolving in the deep sleep state, in Sushupti. He goes and dissolves there. And that is why, because he goes and dissolves, therefore you are able to say when you wake up in the morning that I didn't know anything. Because Ahankaram wasn't there. If Ahankaram was there, he would have known. But because Ahankaram wasn't there, you are saying like this that I didn't know anything what happened. As I mentioned, it rained heavily, there was thunder, there was lightning. And in the morning when I woke up, everybody is telling me it rained heavily, there was thunder, there was lightning. I didn't know anything. Why? This one who knows everything, which is this Ahankaram, who goes and finds out everything in this world, he escaped somewhere in the deep sleep state, is it not? So, only what you had in the deep sleep state was that experience. So, you don't know about it. That means, why you are not able to know that, that experience is happening in ignorance, in the tamogunam. That experience in the deep sleep is in the tamogunam. And that shows to us, you have come out of these five sheets. Which one? Annamayam, pranamayam, manomayam, vijnanamayam, anandamayam. Right? These are the five different senses. Patanjali's Yoga Sutram, if you read, you will see all the explanations to that. So, you begin with annamayam. Annamayam means the bodily level. Gross body. Then pranan, the forces which are operating, five panja pranan, they are operating within the body. Then manomayam. Then come to the platform of the mind. Then the platform of intelligence, vijnanamayam. And then you come to the platform of anandamayam. So, in deep sleep state, what is to be understood is that you have reached up to the anandamayam stage. You have not crossed that yet. You are still in the anandamayam stage. So that is why in the anandamayam stage, you are feeling happiness, but still you have not got out of it. Got out of it. You are not, why is that? You are not gone beyond that. How do you know? Because as soon as you wake up in the morning, after a deep sleep, immediately you are going back to that state again. Start thinking, oh, I was having a great time in the deep sleep. That memory is coming back, isn't it? And whereas in the deep sleep state itself, you don't feel that. And what you are the most fortunate person that was in the deep sleep state, that you had the best situation. None of them was there. Body wasn't there. Mind wasn't there. Intelligence wasn't. Ego was, including ego was not there. Therefore, that experience in the deep sleep is the highest level of existence. And you have no experience of the gross body, which is dead matter. You have no experience of this creation also. Or the creation also. But you had the experience, knowledge that you had the knowledge. This is the important thing. You had the knowledge that nothing was there. That is also a knowledge. That is how knowledge is understood in the Shastram. In the Shastram, this is another important point. In all other religions, if you look, knowledge has to come from outside. That's why we go to school, college, study, and do different things to acquire the knowledge, they say. You have to acquire the knowledge. What does Vedam say to us? Vedam says you cannot acquire knowledge. If you don't have knowledge now, it's not going to come from outside. This is the Vedic conclusion about knowledge. Therefore, what you have to do from the Vedic viewpoint, what all you have to do is get rid of the ignorance from inside. Knowledge is already there because soul is there. Satyachitta Anandam, isn't it? Eternity full of knowledge and full of bliss. So knowledge cannot come from outside. It's already there inside us. If you're thinking that by studying books knowledge will come, it's not going to come. It will never come. That is why there are so many scholars who have studied Shastram. Much, much better than all of us. And they know, but there's no knowledge inside. Knowledge hasn't come yet. So that is a different, completely different way of realizing it. That whereas in all other, we have got religious processes in Buddhism, Christianity and all other places, they say you have to go to the institution, get enrolled, get all the seminars and courses done, and then once you have mastered, you will get some 10 or 12 titles, and then you are hoping that knowledge will come. But sometimes you find all that, after that there is no knowledge in the person. Knowledge means, from viewpoint of the Shastram, realization is not there. You can only say you got the knowledge if there is realization, isn't it? But if there is no realization, how can you say that he has got the knowledge? Isn't it? So it is in that viewpoint it is spoken in the Shastram. So therefore you can see that that in all the three states, this awareness is flowing through all the three states. You may say, yes, in vacant state you are aware. As a sakshi, you are witness of everything. You are aware of everything what's happening. I'm talking about awareness now, not about ahankaram. Ahankaram is not the one. We are talking about the living force inside who is nothing but awareness. Awareness is conscious of everything what's happening in the vacant state. Leave behind the vacant state, go to dream state. There also, awareness is still knowing what all you are dreaming and what experiences you are having in the dream. Happiness, distress, all the miseries or all the happiness of the dream, all that somebody is recording there. Is it not? Somebody is recording in the dream state, that is awareness. And this awareness is present in the deep sleep also, because when you wake up in the morning, you are saying, I didn't know anything what happened. In order to say that I didn't know anything, somebody must have been there, and that is this awareness. The same awareness who stayed in the vacant state and in the dream state reports back from the deep sleep when he wakes up that it was a good time. If somebody was not there to report it, how will you know that? So that is the point what Upanishads are saying, that just because he went to deep sleep state, he has not gone away. He means this awareness. And that is because this awareness has got this nature of recording everything and able to report it back. And that potency is called knowledge. That is what is called knowledge. That's why in the Bhagavadam, Vadandida Tattvavidam Tattvam Yajnanam Advayam. Advaya Jnanam it is called. That is our identity. That is our identity. Not the body, not anything else. Ahangaram, not Ahangaram, not the body. Advaya Jnanam is our identity. Brahmedi, Paramatmedi, Bhagavanidi, Shabdyade. That awareness is addressed as Brahmam, Paramatma, Bhagavan in that way. So, that you can see in the, there is these five verses, famous verses, what is called as the Manisha Panchakam book. Manisha Panchakam, you will see, there is five verses. There are Acharya Swamiji is one of the masterpieces, so to say. Why it is so interesting is, in all other books, what he wrote, like Yadi Panchakam, Sadhana Panchakam, Kashi Panchakam, there are so many other verses he wrote, stotrams and commentaries and all that. That's all written more like a thesis, like you write a thesis for PhD or something like that. Like, based on the Shastram, he will say, analyze the Shastram, and come to the conclusions, and he will give the conclusions. In all other books, he has written like that. Viveka Chudamani, or Brahma Sutra Bhashyam, Bhagavad Gita commentary, everything is like that. Analyze the verses, and explain that, and conclusions after that. When it comes to Manisha Panchakam, it's a little different story. He says, this is my opinion, he says. It's the only place where you will find, he gives his opinion, he says. So, there he says, Jagral Sutna Sushuptishu Sputadaram, first verse, Ya Samvidrijyam Prade, Ya Brahmadi Pibiliganda Tanishu, Prota Jagal Satshini, Saivaham Majadushya Vastudi Drida Prajnami Yasyasti Chel, Chandalostu Sadid Dijostu, Guriditesha Manisha Mama. This is the first verse in the Manisha Manjagam. He's saying there, Jagral Sutna Sushuptishu Sputadaram, Ya Samvidrijyam Vijrambhade, Ya Brahmadi Pipili Ganda Tanishu Prota Jagal Satshani. There, these three states, for example, Jagrat, Sapna, Sushupti. So, in the vacant state, Jagradavastha, in the Sapnavastha or dream state, in the deep sleep state, that Samvit, that awareness, who is witnessing everything, and who knows the changes that is happening in all the three states. You see, because he is not changing, that is why you are able to say like this, oh, last night I had this experience in the dream. And this morning you are saying I am feeling better. And in the evening you are saying I am fully tired. Who is saying all these things? If somebody has to say this, that person must not be changing. He shouldn't be changing. If he is changing, he won't be able to report it like this. Just like we say, I have seen this. Like in the crime, the witness says, I have seen this. And therefore we need a witness to talk about the crime. Is it not? Similarly, that witness inside, who experienced the vacant state and reports about the vacant state, who experienced the dream state, reports about the dream state, who experienced the deep sleep, reports about the deep sleep. And that person who is doing that is this awareness. That's why he said like this, that in all the three states, what he mentioned, that your jagral sapna sushupti, sushuptisho sputatara ya samvid vijrumbhade, that samvid shakti, that is called samvid. Samvitta khladini potency, you must have read in the book. Khladini potency, samvit potency, all this. So, that samvit vijrumbhade, who is able to go to all the three states and tells us what has happened there. What else? Ya brahmadi pipilikanda tanishu prota jagat satshini. From Lord Brahma onwards, right up to pipilikanda tanishu, to the small ant, these states exist for them. These three states exist for them. Brahma also has to sleep. You know, Brahma also sleeps. Only thing is he sleeps for a very long time. Like his day is long, his night is also long. That's what's called a kalpam, isn't it? Prota jagal satshani. At that time, this awareness, addressed here as satshini, female form. Jagal satshani. In the Sri Parvati's form, it is spoken like that. Saivaham najadrishya vastiti drida prajnyabhiyasya asti chel. So, and Brahma has to go through this, and the tiny ant also has to go through this. But what Manisha Manjakam says, Ajari Swami says there, that sa eva aham, sa eva aham, I am that, this awareness, I am that. And that means, for all the three states, the witness, atma tattvam, I am that. Nacha drishya vastu, not the drishyam. Not what she has experienced here, but instead, who has stayed as a witness and observed everything. So, I am not the drishyam again. That means body, the mind, the intelligence, and all its experiences, all of that is drishyam. All of that is drishyam. Therefore, I am not that. Then what else he says? Drida prajnyabhi yasyasti chel. Yasyasti chel. That means one who has got convinced on this, and one who is completely established on that, he is called Jivan Mukta, liberated person. And that is our actual position, is also that. Also that. But only thing is, we are also in the same state. But problem is that we are not sure about it. We took identification here. So these three states, we are not. None of them we are not. Vacant state, dream state, deep sleep. Neither the three bodies in the three states. You know, correspondingly there are three bodies also. Gross body, subtle body, and the causal body. Stula shariram, sushma shariram, and karana shariram. They are called in the shastram in that way. So, all these three bodies, these three states, and the three modes of nature, in all of them, this awareness, which is us, is remain as a witness to everything, and that's what I am. That's what I am. But unfortunately, what do we think at the moment? What do we think? This is what Shastram is saying. What do we think about ourselves now? We are thinking, I am this body. And so what happened? Immediately, that Atma, who is pure awareness, he has become one with the body. One with the body. And as soon as you identified with the body, and your identification has started with that, with what? With this dead matter, dead body. And this imposition of the self on this dead body, the mind, the intelligence, everything. And that process is what Parikshita has done by putting the dead snake on the throat of Shamigrishi. The process, when Bhagavadam says that Shamigrishi, in that liberated state sitting there, Jivan Mukta state, Parikshit comes completely in adhyasam, took the dead snake and put it around his neck. That process is represented, and they are telling us, when we identify that awareness who we are, leave that state and come to the state of the body and start identification with the body, mind, intelligence, senses, everything. Once you are doing that, that process, that prakriya or process is exactly the same what Parikshit has done while putting the snake around the neck. There, in a, you can say in a graphic way spoken like that, to say to us, he put the dead body around the neck. But from spiritual point of view, this is the thing what we have to understand. We have, the moment you leave your spiritual platform of the self as awareness, and come to the platform of the body, and identify with the body, it's exactly like throwing the dead snake around the neck of Shamigrishi. See the comparison between the two. You should look at each one of these statements in the Upanishads and the story in the Srimad Bhagavatam. then you will see the close similarity. How expertly Vedavyasa Maharshi brought a very high Vedantic principle into our practical realization in this world. If you have not, this is the spiritual side of that 19th chapter. If you have not taken that part of the 19th chapter and simply only read the story, you won't get the benefit from that. The message is more important. The rishis have their own way of saying things and you have to learn that. They cannot do anything about it. They will say in their own style, so many things they will say like this. So unless you learn their language of the way of saying things, you won't feel it, understand it, what they are talking about it. And then we say, oh, why is he talking like this? Maitreya Maharshi does the same thing. Shobhra Maharshi does the same thing. They are a different class of people. They are not like us. We are so gross, unless it's spoken very explicitly with bullet points and everything, we won't understand. And they are making it worse now through the advancement in the Windows. Every modification means more and more gross we are becoming, isn't it? So it is like that. What can you do? That all subtleties you are losing completely. You become so gross now, they are saying that after some time, 20, 30 years from now, you see people won't be able to read and write. Everything has to be picture. Everything through photos. Because eyes, you become more pictorial nature. And they lost even the ability to communicate, ability to think, ability to hear. One after the other, senses are all losing its power. And then only, possibly they are thinking this will last longer than the other ones. So that means that when the moment you have left that identification with the awareness and fallen into this identification with the body, you can say that you have put the dead snake on the neck of Shamika. Or you have put the gross body on top of the... You have created this gross body. That is that process. So, if you say, I am, there is nothing wrong. But the moment you say, I am, and you say, I'm not feeling very well. Look at the first statement and the second statement. In the first statement you are saying about me, I am. Okay, ahangaram. But as soon as you say I'm not feeling well, I come to the body. You have jumped from ahangaram into the body, isn't it? That means by now you have accepted the unhappiness or uneasy situation of the body to yourself. So no matter how many times you hear Srimad Bhagavatam, eventually you have to come to that state, isn't it? That is the goal. Not that it's no point in hearing only about Parikshit. Only about Parikshit. Therefore, this chapter has a lot of importance in the first canto, this 19th chapter. And because it is in this chapter, everything is spoken about Adhyasam. Adhyasam is spoken in that. And from now on, how to dismantle this Adhyasam? How to dismantle it? Adhyasam is like a fort you have built around the self, around the awareness. Adhyasam is like that, is it not? I identified with the body, mind, intelligence, ego, senses first. After that, body and bodily extensions and all other things following that. Mind and other thoughts in the mind, and along with that the other extensions of those thoughts. The world, what is around us. Similarly, intelligence, that gets absorbed in everything. So, initially, began with ahangaram. Ahangaram identified with the body, then the mind, intelligence, ego, senses, everything. And it all got expanded so big. And that is that world sitting inside us. How to dismantle all these things? That is the thing. From now on, Shubha Brahmarshi is going to talk from the second canto, from the first chapter onwards. Isn't it? So, that adhyasam, how to dismantle the whole adhyasam, that means that inside us, the atma tattvam, or who does not get affected by anything, who is pure, who is pure, never touched by any impurity, but unfortunately what happened was, he got identified with every other garbage in this world, and that identification is that one, as we said, that dead snake putting it on throat of the rishi. That's what that process is. This is called superimposition. So, that means in simple terms, superimposing dead matter on living force. Jadam on Chaitanyam. Superimposing the functions of dead matter on living force. That is what is called Adhyasam, isn't it? So, that means Dehadi Karmam, all the activities of the body. And it says, the verse in the Upanishad says, Dehendriya Gunakarmani Namale Sachidalpani Adhyasyandi Avivekena Gagane Neelambhuvat Neelambhuvat. Dehendriya Gunakarmani. Body, with its three modes of nature and its activities, you have taken all that. And then what have you done? Amale Sachidalpani. The pure consciousness inside, you have put it on top of that. And how did you do that? Adhyasyandi avivegaina. Due to your lack of discrimination and due to your avivegam, lack of proper knowledge, and how gagane neelambhuvat. Just like on the sky, we are saying it is bluish, it's whitish, it's blackish, like that. We have done the same thing to the self. So we'll continue after a few minutes. Chedo darpanam arjanam vamaha davagni nirvavanam shreyakaidava chandriya vidaranam vidhyavadhu jivanam anandam budhivardhanam pradipada purna amrada swadanam sarvatna svanam param vijayade shri krishna sankirtanam Namnamagari Bhudanija Sarva Shakti Tatrapida Nimida Smaranena Gala Eda Dushi Tavakrabha Bhagavan Mamabi Dumdeva Mida Shamiha Janina Nuragaha Trunara Vishuni Jaina Tarora Visa Hishuna Amanina Amana Dena Kirtani Yasadahari Nathanam Najanam Nasundarim Kavidamba Jagadi Shakamai Mama Janmani Janmani Shri Bhavadad Bhaktirahai Dugitwai Ainandatanujagingaram padidamam shame bhavambudau krabayadava padapangajastidaduli sadrasham vichindayam Bladashudharaya vadanam gadgadarudhayagiram Pulagayarnichidam kadavabhuta vannamagrahane bhavishyari Yugaidam nimeshena chakshusha pravishayidam Shunyayidam jagal sarvam govindavirahename Ashlishyava padaridam pinashtumam adarshanam marmahadam karyoduva Yadhadhava vidadadulambado malpranatha sunayavana para sarvatra govinda nama sangirtanam govinda govinda. So, this superimposition, what we have spoken about, which is also called adhyasam, that has to be understood properly. What does adhyasam mean, isn't it? You see, why it is spoken as adhyasam, adhyasam or superimposition, it's also another word is aravanam. Aravanam means that you are imposing this on something which it is not. The soul, awareness, does not have any of these issues with the world. It doesn't have any problems with hunger, thirst. It doesn't have any problem with attachment, aversion, anger, lust, greed, envy, pride. None of them in him, in the awareness, is it not? And what you are doing is, you're going and putting all these things on top of it. And you're saying, I am that, I am this. So that's why it's called Aravanam. Aravanam. So in other words, it is not real. You see, It's not a real thing. Real means, if it was real, it should come from him, isn't it? From the awareness it should come, all these things. But it doesn't exist in the awareness, but you have thrown them all on top of the awareness. And you are saying, I am this. Which means anger, lust, greed. When you get angry, you say, I am angry. Awareness is not getting angry, but you are getting angry. Who is getting angry then? Ahankaram is getting angry, isn't it? So, Ahankaram goes in and identifies with all these different faculties of the body. Mind, intelligence, ego, senses. They are all different faculties in there and goes and identifies with them. And says there, and thinks that during identification it's thinking, instead of realizing that the qualities of the awareness coming out, these qualities are coming out through us. Qualities of the awareness are Satta Chitta Anandam, eternity, blissful and knowledge. That is the quality of the awareness. Instead of those coming out, anger, hate, greed, lust, envy, pride, all these things are coming out through us. So, what we have to remember here is, it is only because it is an imposition or superimposition on the awareness, liberation is possible. Suppose it was the original fact, original thing that existed in the soul, this liberation is not possible. Because that thing is eternal. And all envy will be eternal, greed will be eternal, and lust will be eternal, and also all other bad qualities, what we talk about, they will all be present in us forever. It will never go. But because it is a superimposed one, it is not the real one, it is a superimposed one, therefore it is possible to separate it. The self from the non-self. It is possible to separate the self from the non-self. That is how you have to, and that is how the rishis found out that the drikka, present eternally inside, totally unaffected by everything, is unchanging. They found out that. Is unchanging. Whereas rest of all the other things are changing. Body is changing. Mind is changing. Intelligence is changing. Ego is changing. Senses are changing. And the world is changing. So, the whole thing is changing, but the awareness is not changing. Unchanging nature of the awareness convinced the sages, convinced the rishis that it is possible to escape from this mess. That is the important point. And that is how they are saying that moksham or liberation is only possible because of this peculiar nature of the permanent existence or permanent nature of the awareness. That is not possible in the anything else. Because everything else is changing. This one thing doesn't change. Always eternal, always blissful, always full of knowledge. Go back to that and you are free. Stay here, you are in suffer forever. That's all the answer. Very simple things. But analyze and analyze and analyze. Again and again it should be spoken repeatedly. Because as soon as we forget, after the prasadam we'll be forgotten, we'll go home and go back to the same old state. Adhyasam. Isn't it? So practically every morning you sit up and get up and sit down and think who you are actually. That is Pradasmarana Stotram. Pradasmarana. As soon as you get up in the morning, what should you think about yourself, who you are, asking that question. Isn't it? So to teach us, Krishna showed that in the Bhagavadam. To teach us. Krishna doesn't need any of these things. He is always in that state. And you can see the way Krishna acted in this world. Or there was nobody else who was more busy than Krishna in this world while he was here. Isn't it? Fighting with all the kings. Marrying 16,108 family and their problems. Then to help the Pandavas and fight the Mahabharata war there. After all that, he is totally peaceful about everything. So imagine that. He is always in that state. But to show to the world, all the appearances, all incarnations, they have one goal, to teach the human species how to advance in the spiritual path. Krishna is showing to us, if you remember Brahmadhyanam, that is in the early hours in the morning he got up. Otherwise Krishna doesn't have to get up so early. But to show to us so that we follow him, getting up early in the morning, and sitting and meditating on the truth, who I am, to show to us. He doesn't need it, but show to us. That meditating who I am, asking this question, who I am. That, so he spent long time. That was the first activity. After washing his hands and legs, he sat down. It's only after the Brahmadhyanam he went into other activities in life. So that is a lesson to learn. So here, as I said, in the Bhagavadam, that what it's saying is mukti, mukti, liberation. You remember? Mukti. It's not a real thing. All you are doing is wiping out the ignorance from inside. That's all it is, mukti. That is why when we talk about mukti in the Bhagavadam, initially when we come to spiritual life, first we start thinking, oh, I have to get liberated, I have to go back home, back to Godhead, and all other understanding in us. But as you progress through Bhagavadam, you will understand what exactly this going back home, back to Godhead means. Is it not? And if you study the creation process, you will understand in the more subtle level about mukti. That's why in the second canto, Shukha Brahmashi mentions that mukti tektva anyadha rubam swarupena vyavasthiti. If you are situated in your pure identity of pure consciousness, awareness, you are liberated. If you are situated there, even here, you are liberated. But that's why people who are liberated, Jivan Mukta state, there are all the time there are liberated souls in this world. They exist. You may not know them, I may not know them, you may not know them, but they do exist here. Those who have gone so far and liberated themselves, but till the prarabdham is finished, the body will be here. But they have gone out of the body already. They are not connected with the body anymore. But when we see the body running around here, we are still thinking, oh, he is still in the suffering in this world. But that person is already packed up and gone from there. So, So this same thing that in the Upadesha Saram, when Maharshi talks about this, in the Upadesha Saram, famous instructions, talking about the soul, he says, like Krishna says in the 11th canto, I think 12th chapter, the first verse, bandham mukti iti vyakhya gunato me na vastuda. Krishna is saying they are not real. After talking about all getting liberated, Krishna says they are not real. So that is where people find that difficult. Bandho mukta iti vyakhya gunato me na vastuta. They are not real. Krishna is saying bandho mukta iti vyakhya, that bandham and mukti, bondage and liberation, is caused by gunam. Gunato me na vastuta. Then gunasya maya mulatval. Why gunam? Because of maya. Maya is gunam. Three modes of material nature is present in us in the form of goodness, passion and ignorance. Isn't it? Gunasya maya mulatval. And because it has come from maya, name moksho na bandhanam. There is no something called moksham. There is no thing called bondage either. There is no thing called liberation. There is no thing called bondage. So when Krishna says that, he is saying this at the end of Bhagavadam, isn't it? 11th canto, 12th chapter, first verse. He is saying to Uddhava, because we... And the same thing Maharshi is also saying here. In Upadesha Sara, Maharshi says, the bandha muktya dhitam param sukham vinda diha ji vastu devigam. He says that if you impose all the divine qualities on the self, at the moment we are imposing all the bad qualities on the self. Is it not? That means on body, mind, intelligence, ego, and ragam, dvesham, attachment, aversion, lust, anger, greed, and illusion, matsaryam, all these are bad things. If you impose all these things on the self, you will never know the truth. Instead, if you develop all the divine qualities and impose them on the self, you will realize the truth. That's what Maharshi says there. And what is that divine quality? That divine quality is bhakti. That divine quality is bhakti, and you will be able to realize the truth within yourself. Within yourself. And only when you have imposed these divine qualities, particularly bhakti. Bhakti is that divine quality. All other things is bhakti's different aspects. For example, when we talk about bhakti, if you study the 12th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, you will, Krishna says, how does Krishna define bhakti? Krishna says, bhakti means a person will be like this, 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 he says. He talks about the bhakta more than the bhakti. Adveshta sarva bhudanam, maitrakaruna evacha, nirmamo nirahangara, samadukha sugashtami, sandushta sadadam yogi, yadalpa dhananishaya, mayarpinamano buddhir, yomal bhakta same priyaha. There are so many verses there, you can see, all reference to the nature of a devotee. So, by observing the qualities of the devotee's nature, you can understand what does bhakti means. So, if these qualities are building up in a person, you can naturally say, there is bhakti building up in the heart. In the heart. And if that bhakti develops in the heart, Ramana Maharshi is saying there, that, ot bandhamuktadi samparam sukham, vindadihaji vastu devigam. These divine, they are divine qualities. Which one? Bhakti. So these divine qualities, if it builds inside, you will be able to see that truth inside. How? In your intelligence you will get convinced. The realization will happen in your intelligence. That's where it will happen. So, therefore, when the true bhakti, when one who has purified himself to that level, what has happened to him? That what is happening to him is that up to now he was talking about bondage and liberation. Up to now. When these divine qualities are built up inside and the heart is purified, at that time he will realize that his awareness is beyond the bondage and liberation. Beyond bondage and liberation. So, when Krishna says there is no bondage, that is no liberation, this is how you have to understand that. Then you will ask a question, then what happens then? Isn't it? What you will understand is that bondage is also not real, liberation is also not real, but bhakti will make that realization that your identity is beyond the bondage and liberation. This state will come. Beyond the bondage and liberation. That's what, that means because there is no question of me getting bound, there is no question of me getting liberated. Because I don't get bound, there is no question of getting... Why? Because both of these bondage and liberation is nothing but a product of Maya. Maya means the three modes of material nature. So that means when you get released from the three modes of material nature, when you get released from Maya, automatically you, in your intelligence you experience that. That these things doesn't exist. Bondage and liberation doesn't exist. So that is why you have to bring Bhagavad Gita and Bhagavatam together here. In Bhagavad Gita, Krishna has spoken this in the second chapter. If you look into the second chapter, you will see, Esham Brahmi Siddhi Partha. Remember the last words in the second chapter. Esham Brahmi Siddhi Partha. Krishna says that is Brahmi Siddhi. Brahmi Siddhi. Brahmi Siddhi is... that you don't have any more identification with the body, which should happen before, he says, Esham Brahmi Siddhi Partha Nainam Prapya Vimukhyati Stitvasyam Andhakalevi Brahma Nirvanam Rachati. That is the way of the spiritual and godly life, after attaining which a man is not bewildered. If one is thus situated, even at the hour of death, one can enter into the kingdom of God. So, the same thing spoken in Bhagavatam in a different way. Vastu is the same. No change at all. So, that Brahmi Siddhi state is saying. And prior to that, in the second chapter, you will notice, Arjuna asked some questions to Krishna. How does a person in that state, how does he walk, how does he eat, how does he sleep? How does he sit? And all these things. Did you notice Krishna didn't answer that question? He's asked Arjuna, because Krishna is used to these stupid questions, like us. All questions are stupid. It has no meaning in front of the spiritual knowledge. Uddhava also did the same thing, never answered directly. That is why Krishna doesn't want to answer directly any of these questions. Arjuna is asking, how does he eat? How does he sleep? How does he walk? How does he talk? And all that. Completely ignored everything. And what did Krishna say? Krishna brought some personalities and told Arjuna, Arjuna, look at them and you will learn yourself. Bhishma, Bhigura, Kunti Devi, they are all these personalities in the Vedavyas, all of them. Look at them and you learn from them what that Siddha Prajnato means. Look at Bhishma. What all happened in Bhishma's life? Unbelievable things has happened, isn't it? And after all that he went through, he realized that Krishna is the truth. It took a long time to say that finally. When finally leaving, before leaving this body, Bhishma says to Yudhishthira, Yudhishthira, that Purna Brahman is staying at your home. What you want more than this? What you need more than this? Gudambaram Brahma Manushyalingam, Bhagavadam says. That Supreme Brahman has come in this form and staying at your home. What are you looking for now? Says Yudhishthira came to his senses at that time. So you can see there that in the case that when you get realized this, purification happened. We have to purify first. That purification is bhakti process. Bhakti is the only thing that can purify us. That is why in Bhagavad Gita, while talking about karma yogam, jnana yogam, everything, it is all taken and to be understood. Without bhakti, no jnana yogam will work, no karma yogam will work. Bhakti is an integral part of that process. So, when you come to this understanding that I am beyond bondage and liberation, I am beyond bondage and liberation in my pure consciousness, awareness, at that time you will know that this thing called bondage and liberation is in the platform of mind. Is in the platform of mind. That is when we talk about bondage and liberation. Once you come to the spiritual platform, there is no question of talking about bondage and liberation. You're already there. But while you are in the mental platform, you need to talk like this. There is a thing called bondage, there is a thing called liberation. Isn't it? And it is at that time that you are saying, I am bound or I am liberated. And because Maya is still there, that's why. Maya is still there. So as long as we feel you are bound or you are liberated, either way, it means that Maya is present there. Maya is present there. So, and that experience that is coming to you at that time, either in the bondage state or in the liberated state, whichever way you are referring to, that Maya, that is also a Maya. This thinking like this, I am bondage, I am liberation. That, actually you are none of that. Beyond all these things, where you are getting that experience, but without the absence of awareness, you won't even know that you are bondage or in liberation. Isn't it? So that Chaitanyam or that living force, which actually illuminates inside and make you experience this so-called bondage and liberation, even at that time, that is coming from this awareness. Awareness is giving you that experience even at that time of bondage and liberation. But once you have gone beyond than that, that there is no such thing called bondage or liberation, at that state, Maya has withdrawn from the person. Maya has no more influence there. So, so it is this reason that you can see now how Parikshit progressed from Canto 1 to Canto 12. In the 12th Canto, fortunately, we can say we haven't done what Parikshit has done, that we didn't take a dead snake and go and put it in the neck of a rishi. But who is this rishi? Rishi is nobody else than the self inside, pure consciousness inside, isn't it? When I thought that I am this body, immediately I put the dead snake. As soon as I thought I am the body, I put the dead snake on the body. Superimposition happened, or adhyasam happened. Is it not? Superimposition happened, or adhyasam happened. Therefore, what happened? The death of the body has become my death. Isn't it? Death of the body has become my death. Then I say, I will die very soon. I'll say like this, I'll die very soon when I get very sick. Or we say that somebody else is dead. I mean, it's over. So, but the problem is that with the death of the body, I don't die. That's the problem. Because in this very, very same body, I have experienced different things. Boyhood, childhood, youthhood, old age, everything. And when all the three states are happening in me, wakened state, dream state, deep sleep, I am still aware that all these things are coming and going. You remember the days when you were a little boy, when you grew up, teenager, young man, middle-aged man, old age. Now, you, any change? No. You are still saying that I was like this in such and such a place I was living, and now all these changes have happened. That means boyhood, childhood, youthhood, old age, none of them has affected you, the real awareness, even to the slight trace. Even to the slightest trace, it has not affected that awareness. Awareness is complete when you have a childhood, when you are a boy, when you are a grown-up person, and in the old age. Awareness remains exactly the same. No change at all. No change at all. So that means in all these different states, as a witness you have stayed, isn't it? So, when you don't have a gross body, that state is called dream state. When you don't have a gross body. And you exist even at that time, in your subtle body. So, when you don't have a gross body, and when you don't have a subtle body, that state is called sushupti, isn't it? That sushupti state. When you don't have a gross body, when you don't have a subtle body, that state is called sushupti. Sushupti. So, look at yourself at that time. Has anything happened to you? The awareness. You went through the gross body, you lost the gross body. You got it in the morning, you left it in the night. You got your dream body in the night, kept it for some time, you threw it away after that. Then you left and went away from here. Remember in the Bhagavad Gita how Krishna puts it? Avyaktam vyaktimavannam manyadeyamam abuddhaya. I think in the third chapter Krishna says, avyaktam, from unknown thing, all these things have manifested. Gross body came, subtle body came, they came and they're gone. And then you've gone away from there. When both of them went, what happened in the deep sleep state? You've gone back to that state where you originally came from. That avyaktam word Krishna uses in that way. Avyaktam means unmanifested condition. These are all manifested state. Body is a manifested condition. Mind is a manifested state. But when nothing is manifested, where are you? That's the question. That is that avyaktam. Avyaktam state. Krishna refers to that in the Bhagavad Gita. So, but has anything happened to me? Nothing has happened. Only thing is body has come and gone. Gross body has come and gone. Subtle body has come and gone. But I am full, complete as I was in the awakened state, dream state, deep sleep. No change at all. So, it is from this. But, nothing has happened. But still, we are unable to see that difference. What was happening, isn't it? So, due to deha adhyasam, adhyasam of the body, and due to the identification with the body, and the deha abhimanam, or the bodily identity, due to that, I am completely absorbed in the life. Isn't it? Throughout the life, what are we doing actually? Busy with this body, due to identification with the body, deha abhimanam. Deha abhimanam and also deha tadalpyam. Tadalpyam with the body and completely absorbed in this, we spent our time in this world. No thought at all beyond this if anything exists, isn't it? That is the reason when death comes, we are finished, is it not? Actually, death, we don't even know when it happens. One fine day, some hospital or somewhere, we will die and go. That's fine. But the thought of death weakens us every day, isn't it? Death is coming, death is coming. The thought of that death, that is more troublesome than the death itself. Death will happen one day, all it is required is that you will be taken somewhere, ambulance, in the present society. People were dying before ambulance was there, you know that. People used to die in this world before ambulance came. So people were dying all the time, all through the history people died. And it's not a big news, only thing somebody wants to put it in the paper or something. But that's gone, finished, forgotten. But the thought about the death, how many years you live in that fear, thinking about the death. So which is more troublesome? The death is troublesome or these thoughts more troublesome? As soon as you get older, you don't need to get older, nowadays even youth gets sick and then some of them remain for the rest of the life, isn't it? But let's imagine that in the present state, say by 50, you start getting sick, various illnesses. From 50 right up to the day when you leave the body, you become very serious. Why? Because thinking about the fear of death. That's what is making the old people serious. They can't smile anymore. Why? Because of this fear is always behind. It's ready to get on to you. So, so therefore, it is impossible to smile as soon as this fear is building up inside about the death. And so we know that body is dying, but the death of this body, the thought of that is weakening me. I'm experiencing it inside and the tension that comes from that. But actually when the death happens, I don't even know when it happens, isn't it? Some people say, oh, he died in the sleep. So that means he didn't even know that he was dying. So death itself is not frightening. What frightening us is this process, long drawn process, for a long period, isn't it? Sometimes you wonder, when government is saying we are all living longer, isn't it? You go to the hospitals and see the older people lying there. Government feels happy they are lying there, 70, 80, 90 years old. They can't leave the body. Prarabdham is not over. You have to hang on still here. Government is feeling happy that they are living longer. Is this life any good? Think about that also, that living in that state. So this thing called life and our experiences of life is a better lesson to learn that spiritual life is real. Spiritual life is not imaginary. That even when this is happening to the body, one who knows that when the body is dying and it is going to leave us, nothing will happen to me, and the person who knows that is, that is the person who is situated in the Brahmanishtha or Atmanishtha or situated on the platform of the soul. When all these things are happening in the body, and there are people who have lived like that in this world, who have left this world in that way. Because if they were not there, we won't be wasting our time studying Srimad Bhagavatam. Only thing is, we don't see them. We don't see them. There are people who have lived in this world, who lived in this world with this understanding, and don't care what happens to this body. Let body go its own way. I have nothing to do with it. Able to separate themselves from the body to such an extent that when the body left, they didn't feel it. They didn't feel any anxiety about it. So, they are called, those who are situated like that, they are called in Brahmanishtha, Atmanishtha. There are various names used in the Bhagavad Gita and Bhagavatam. Same thing, when we talk about Ramana Maharshi, this is the history behind him. He didn't study any Shastram. That is the most interesting thing. Beginning, he had no knowledge of any Shastram. Like an ordinary child, he went to school. And you will mention there, suddenly you are 14, 15 years old, A friend of him died. Because he was a very close friend of this boy who died, he went to the house where the death happened. And naturally, he observed everything. And he saw there that this friend's body has been washed, bathed, everything, covered with the cloth. And finally, they set the fire up and they took this whole body and put it into that fire. And Ramana Maharshi stood there and watched all these things. He saw this happening right in front of him. It was not done in a covered way. It was all done openly. So when he saw that, this is the reason. Ramana Maharshi's that particular experience turned his life. When he saw that, he says there that his friend, whom he was calling as his friend, for till then, suddenly this death happened because he was a young boy. And when the death happens, and when he saw that, the whole body was put into the fire, and they set fire to the whole thing. And in a couple of hours' time, all what was remaining there was some ashes. Some ashes were lying there. So Maharshi asked this question, when I die, is that not what is going to happen to me? He said, so he came home, closed the door, got into the room, and he was lying there in his bed. Thinking about this. Of course, it has happened to Ramana Maharshi due to Purva Vasana. That is the one behind that. That in previous lifetimes, he must have cultivated spiritual knowledge to a very higher degree. And due to some prarabdham in this body, he had come. So therefore, such a good thought, spiritual thought has happened to him at such an early age in life. We are people who, after seeing so many deaths, nothing comes to us. We think, oh, he is dead. Oh, that problem is gone. That's us. That's how we are. Why this thought hasn't coming to us? What happened to Maharshi? Maharshi thought that is the samskaram inside of a person. He is about 14, 15 years old, isn't it? So what he did, he was lying down on the bed. And he was trying to experience death himself. He wanted to see what is death like. And he imagined himself that I am dead. And he is saying there, and he started thinking different things, what happened to the body after the death, what happened to his friend, isn't it? And for some time, thinking in that way, he managed to stay away from his own body. That is due to previous experiences, of course it matters. But that also didn't happen automatically. He must have practiced spiritual life before. Otherwise, how would it come? So, we start now, we will also get this experience one day. So, he is seeing everything, what his friend has done, how he had lived in this world. He is looking at himself and he is seeing that he is separate from the body, who is observing all these things. He noticed that his relatives have come, all the relatives of his friend had come. They have bathed the body of his friend and then completely covered itself with the white clothes or something, and they tie the whole body down so that they can carry it like a bundle to the funeral pyre, isn't it? They bring the cow dung or the firewood, whatever that was locally used at that time. They set it up, everything. When the fire started catching, the fire got stronger, the members of the family got together, took the body and put it in the fire. and Maharshi started thinking like this, that has my friend finished? This is how he started looking at it. Is my friend finished? No, body has gone. This strong conviction inside made him realize, he got this experience of himself, that tomorrow they will do the same thing. If I die, they will take this body, they'll go to the cremation, wherever that is going to be done. They'll set up the fire and they'll put this so-called body in that, and I will be separate from that, isn't it? So when he observed these things at that age 15, he was not matured enough. Maharshi's life is like that. If you read his early life, you can see he was not matured enough. And he thought that this person who is observing all these things, I'm still existing. He's thinking like that. I'm still existing. So similarly, everything happens to the... So when he started doing this in the bed, he's lying there, and he thinks, I am dead. And he is still noticing that the body, which has dead body, they are all taking my dead body and putting it into the fire and setting fire to it. And body is dying. But that awareness inside is not dying. It's not dying. It is not even in the imagined state of death, what he was imagining himself. So, so Maharshi started thinking, if it is like that, this awareness doesn't seem to leave me. It's always there, under all circumstances. So who am I? That's how that who am I question came up. Who am I? That question is asked. And this is exactly the question the first person in this creation asked. Who? Lord Brahma. Look at Bhagavatam. When you read, look at that Bhagavatam. How Shuka Brahma, Maitreya Maharshi, very expertly puts it to us. Very expert, he has put it like this. He says to us, if you look at the third canto, in the 8th chapter, 18th verse, I mentioned before, this creation in different kalpam is different, right? Different kalpam is different. Creation in the Brahma kalpam, Palpa kalpam, Varaha kalpam, everything is different. In the sense, it is in the Palpa kalpam, this is what is spoken. That lotus flower came up. And in the lotus flower, Brahma is sitting there. And you know what the question Brahma asked first? What was it? The same question Ravana Maharshi was asking. Who am I? Because when he looked around, look at that. Ka esha yosavaham abja prishta. Ka esha. Who am I? Brahma's first question. Ka esha. Therefore, Brahma got a name, who am I? Because he said, who am I? So that became his name. Ka esha. Kaha. Ka esha yosavaham abja prishtaham. Mridal kudova abja mananya dapso. Astahyadasta adiha kinchaneidam. Adishtidam yatra sadanubhavyam. Sadanubhavyam. That when Brahma was sitting on the lotus flower and he looked around, everywhere there is water. Everywhere there is water and darkness also. So he's saying, who am I? Where did I come from? And where did this lotus flower come from? First he asked, where did I come from? And then he's asking, where is the lotus flower coming from? And then he used his brain and he started thinking. He started thinking, it cannot happen like this. A lotus flower comes and I'm sitting right in the middle of the lotus flower. How can this happen? He asked that question. So, there must be a reason behind it. Something behind that is happening, causing this. So, for a very long time, for a very, very long time, that is when the announcement came, tapatava, isn't it? Tapatava, to perform austerities and penances. You remember in the Bhagavatam? Tapatava, tapatavedi, it says. Perform tapasa, perform tapasa. So, many years of tapasya in that way, ultimately he entered into, through his yogic power, he entered into that stem of the lotus and he went down looking for where the lotus flower is coming from. And he gone for a very long time, he couldn't find the end of that stem of the lotus flower. At that time, again, from inside, everything is happening inside, not outside. From inside, Krishna is saying to him, perform penances again. Perform penances again. So he goes back inwardly, looking for performing penances. After that penances, Krishna revealed to him the Vaikuntha planets. Where? Inside, not outside. Vaikuntha darshanam is inside. Normally when we read, we will think like this, that, oh, Brahma must have been sent dreamliner, jumbo jet, for Brahma to go, executive jet, Air Force One, for Brahma to go and see the Vaikuntham. No. Sitting right there on the lotus flower, inside, Vaikuntha darshanam happened. All revelations are inside, not outside. You can see when Krishna appeared for Narada Maharshi, where was it first time? Inside. And after inside appeared, then Krishna took the form away And Narada Maharshi opened the eyes and Krishna appeared outside. Dhruva Maharaj, if you look, what happened? Krishna appeared inside first. And then Dhruva Maharaj was confused. What is this form I am seeing inside? The whole form is spoken in the Bhagavatam in detail, elaborately spoken, that form. And Dhruva Maharaj confused, and suddenly Krishna took the form away from Dhruva. And then when you took the form away, meditation broke, eyes opened, Krishna is standing outside at that time. So all the revelations are inside first, outside is later, outside is later. So similarly spiritual world also, inside is first. So Vaikuntham, Vaikuntha Darshanam, Brahma's Vaikuntha Darshanam is one whole chapter. Brahma seeing Vaikuntham inside and talking about that to Narada Maharshi. In three chapters you will read that. So this Vaikuntha Darshanam has to happen to all of us inside. Inside. And you have to think like this. What has happened to Lord Brahma has to happen to us also. And if you do not think like this, this has happened to Brahma, why I have to worry about it? That's Brahma's problem. If you think like that, what we will say? We will say, Brahma came, Brahma created the whole world, and what did Brahma do? Krishna came and told Bhagavatam to Brahma, and Brahma got liberated and gone from here. What do I have to do with it? If you start thinking like that, Bhagavatam won't make any sense. When did Brahma come? When all this happened is so far, long ago, isn't it? But if you limit the whole Bhagavatam to Brahma, it makes no sense. That is why in the third canto, when you read, you will see there that Brahma's experiences has to become our experiences one day. That the same revelations, what was revealed to Brahma, has to happen within us. In this way, what will happen is, Brahma will get liberated, you won't get liberated. You will be here as you are. Nothing will happen. Brahma will go, yes. Brahma will go back home, back to Krishna. But we won't go back to Krishna, we will be here. So, that is an important thing. So these instructions of all these things is important only when you have this misunderstanding or bodily identification. That is when you require these instructions, isn't it? That means only when the deha adhyasam is there, only such a person requires all these things. Like the Brahma has done, that it began with bodily identity, Brahma also. But Brahma, because being a superior person, Brahma is nobody else than Krishna, who has come as Brahma's body. So, through Brahma, he is teaching us this. That Brahma, after austerities and penances, realized the truth and freed himself from here. Initially, when adhyasam is there, you require all these things. But, and at that time, you require a spiritual master, you require the shastram, you require the sadhana, you require the salsangam, you require everything in this world when there is adhyasam. Once adhyasam is gone, then you don't need any of these things. You don't need a guru anymore. You are already reached the goal. You don't need the shastram anymore. You don't need sadhana anymore. You don't need the salsangam anymore. You don't need any of the other things what we do in our spiritual efforts. Parikrama or prasadam or whatever other different things, whatever we do in the spiritual activity. So we require this till this adhyasam is gone from inside, completely gone from inside. That means somehow or the other we got so firmly established in the body. That is the problem. It is so grounded strongly in the body and the mind that it has become practically difficult even to imagine that there is another state in the platform of the soul. That has become difficult for us, isn't it? So what happened? Death of the body has become my death. And here you can see that death for Parikshit, it happened through Tatshaga, it is said. Tatshaga has come and bitten Parikshit, isn't it? For us, where is the Tatshaga? Who is our Tatshaga? Our Tatshaga is time. That is why you will see time is compared to a python in the Puranam. All Puranams, time is compared to a python.
Another snake.
Time is considered. So this python is biting us now, called time. And we are dying. Tatshaga, our Tatshaga is time, and Tatshaga is biting us, and we are in the slowly dying. Only thing is, some of us will die 60, 70, 80, whatever it may be, time, but we are all bitten at the moment. So, Tatshaga for Parikshit was bitten by Tatshaga and died. We are getting bitten by the time. We are getting bitten by the time. So, we are bitten by that snake, which is called time. And Parikshit was told in 7 days time, he will die in the Bhagavatam. We also actually have got only 7 days life, isn't it? It may not be this week, this 7 days. It may be the next 7 days, or maybe the next 7 days after that. But one of these 7 days only, our death also will happen, like the way it happened to Parikshit. Everything ditto, exactly what happened to Parikshit, that's what's happening to me. So, so when this whole thing was spoken to Parikshit, and when he was able to discriminate between the two, it was at that time Parikshit got the intelligence thinking about how to go beyond this. How to go beyond this. Unfortunately for Parikshit, that strong thought came to go beyond, like the way it has happened to Maharshi. It has happened to many others like that. And those who have happened like that, it is their history you have to study. What has happened? Tapavana Swamiji, when he was leaving his body, at a very early age, he went to Himalayas. And he spent the whole life in the Himalayas, tolerating all the Himalayas in those days. We are talking about 1900, 1920 and all that. That was the time he spent in the Himalayas. So his experiences, he wrote them down, all what he was experiencing there. Unlike today, the facilities were very poor then. Very, very poor. You had no transport to the different mountains. You had to walk. And there were, all the sadhus took shelter of the Himalayas them days. Nowadays also many people go to Himalayas for this reason, that they don't want to be involved with the society. But that is a higher level of realization inside. So when he went there, he's saying that because of that, Shastram inside, very strong inside, the knowledge of the Shastram. And apart from the knowledge inside, he has studied Shastram to such a degree, he has realized himself that whatever I have studied is enough now. I have studied enough. But I need to experience this in life. And therefore, after traveling many places, eventually he got to Himalayas there. When he got there, and naturally there was no proper food, proper clothing, proper shelter, nothing. And he was always getting sick, one way or the other. But even all that experiences of the body, experience and the miseries of the mind and miseries of the world, all that thing he tolerated and lived there in that condition. And eventually it has become so habituated with all that what has happened that he was able to see himself beyond the body. He started realizing that body cannot do anything to me. So when he was in that state, body cannot do anything to me. I am separate from the body. He was so convinced that his two good disciples goes to him, who learned from him, Shastram in the early days, they goes up to him and says to him, seeing his condition, that we have got some good contacts and good hospitals in Delhi. We will take you there. We have brought the car for you to go. Those days, to have a car, to bring somebody by car and all, was considered to be, everybody didn't have. Now everybody have got 4 or 5 cars, isn't it? Those days, hardly anyone had any car. Only very rich people had cars. And and if you had a car, everybody will look at you. Oh, you got a car? They'll look at you like that. But nowadays, you don't want to see them anymore. seen so much of them.
So, but in them days, that these two disciples, they were in Delhi and they had contacts with some rich people, so they said that we'll take the car to bring him here to the best hospital in Delhi. What hospital in Kedarnath and Badrinath? What hospital can you find? There was no hospital. So they go up to him and says to him that you should come with us. In this state, living here and is no good. And it's hurting us. And they pleaded to him to come with him. His answer was, is there nobody dying in Delhi? That was a straight answer. Is there nobody dying in Delhi? He said. So these two people thought, how to convince him now? What am I supposed to say? He says, let the body go its own way, I go my way. That was his answer. This is how he answered. So this is how that strength inside, where is that coming from? Where is that strength coming from? If you are separated from the body, you will be able to say this. Otherwise you cannot. There are many others who have done the same thing. Some people are well known, some people are less known. That's all the difference is. There are people still leaving the body in that state in this world. We may not know them, but you can't say they don't exist. They're still there. But many, many people who are gone beyond the body in that level. Everybody is not preaching, is it? Some people are practicing also. That's the problem. We are all busy with preaching, but somebody is practicing. That is what makes the difference is. It is the practicing one they will never know. The preaching ones everybody knows. In all the channels they will be there. All the newspapers, all the magazines, and everywhere the preachers will be there. But practicing ones you won't find them. They will practice and they will escape. They will go their way. So what happened here? So we have to come to this state. Otherwise spiritual life is not complete. And that is the only way to free ourselves. That is why in Upanishads what does it say? Parikshalogan karma chitan nirvedamayal agridakridena tad vijnanatham sadgurumeva abhigachel shamilpani shrotriyam brahmanishtam. You will find in Upanishad this statement. Parikshalogan karma chitan. Upanishad says that is how this Parikshit got this name Parikshit. Parikshalogan. Because he experimented with the world. That is what called a pariksha. Pariksha means experimenting with this world. Experimenting with the world means analyzing this world properly. Properly. Not thinking that there is so much money to be made. There is so much to enjoy here. That is not pariksha. Pariksha means looking at the world as it is and observing this and realizing that, coming to the conclusion that this material nature is temporary. And within this temporary setup, there is no possibility of any happiness. Because everything is changing, including your own body. So what is the point in trying to find any sort of happiness here? So that understanding inside, that is what it is talking about. And what else? Parikshalogan karmachidan. Karmachidan means that that one who has the expertise in analyzing the experiences of life properly and realizing from that. What is the realization? Nirvedamayal agridakridena. That is an important thing. That you have worked very hard in your life and you started realizing, is karmam going to solve all my problem? That understanding. By working hard, the ignorant person only will tell you that by working hard you can solve the problem. Intelligent person will never say that. Intelligent person will say to you that by not working, you will solve the problem. We got this body, why? Because of working. Isn't it? Working created this whole thing. Though that is why, that nirvedamayal agridakridena, that one, he analyzes and understands it this way. What is that? What do I get from karmam at the end? Because karmam is limited by time and space. Is it not? Kalam, desham. Both put limitations on the effort, on karmam. And any effort what you put inside in this world, your effort,
All effort is limited by time and space. Time and space. So, whether it is a pious activity or it is a sinful activity, whatever it may be, that because it is limited by time and space, your karmam is limited by time and space, therefore the result is also limited. Action is limited, so the result is also limited. Through action, you can't get perfection. That is the conclusion. Because the action is limited, the result is also limited. And self-realization is not limited. So, through action, self-realization is not possible. Even karma yoga is only a stepping stone to jnanam or bhakti in the Bhagavatam and Bhagavad Gita. Karma yoga is also a stepping stone to jnanam or bhakti. That is why it is like that. That karmam is limited, and because karmam is limited, therefore the result is also limited, and therefore it cannot be self-realization. If it is self-realization, it has to be permanent, forever, isn't it? Self-realization means completely situated in Brahmanishta. So therefore, to be situated in that Brahmanishta, karmam cannot be the total cause of behind that. So, from karmam, you will not get a permanent relief for the problem. Temporarily, you will get some happiness. But what I need is eternal happiness, not temporary happiness. And that eternal shanti or happiness is agrita kridena. Agrita kridena. And that vastu, and that will not come from karma. That will not come from karma. So, that one, after knowing all these things, you have to come to this level. It is after that you inquire about the spiritual master. First of all, you have to come to this state. Which one? Pariksha logan, karmajidan, nirvedamayal, agradakridena. When you have gone through all these things, to that maturity, spiritual maturity, if that has developed inside, then tadvijnanartham, then to know about the truth, sadguru meva abhigachet, you should go to a sadguru who is realized. Shamilpani, holding the dharmagrass in the hand, go to him, Shtamil Shrotriyam Brahmanishtam. He should have completely studied all the Shastram, and the Shastric conclusions must be in him. He must have experienced the Shastric conclusion, and he should be situated in the platform of Brahman. That is the statement in the Upanishads. Prabhupada has also quoted that in different places in the Bhagavad Gita and Bhagavadam. Tadvijnanartham Sat Guru Meva Abhigachet Shamilpani Shrotriyam Brahmanishtam. If all these things are properly done, then that person will come out. Practically what is happening here is that Shrotriyam Brahmanishtam is Sukadeva Goswami. Sri Shuka Brahmarshi is that Shrotriyam Brahmanishtam. So such a person, if you hear Srimad Bhagavatam from him, and that means that person who not only studied all the Shastram and totally realized it, everything what is in the Bhagavatam, totally realized his name, you should approach him. And so that is what this meeting between Shuka Brahmarshi and Parikshit in the beginning, in this 19th chapter, Vedavyasa Maharshi is bringing these two people together, an ideal guru and an ideal disciple. Ideal guru and ideal disciple. So when they get together, what happened? There is one more thing comes there. So from this you can understand what is that qualification of the spiritual master. If you are in spiritual life, if you are in something else, that's another issue. But if you are genuinely serious about spiritual life, this is the qualification of the spiritual master. Sadguru meva abhigachel Shamilpani Shrotriyam Brahmanishtam. These two words, Shrotriyam Brahmanishtam, if these two things are not there, there is a question mark about the whole thing. You have to put the question mark there. If it is not Shrotriyam, if you look into Bhagavad Gita also, you will see what does Krishna says there about the spiritual master. తద్విధి ప్రణిపాదేన పరిప్రశ్నేన సేవయ ఉపదేక్షందిదే జ్ఞానం హూ జ్ఞానినా తత్వదర్శిన హీ మస్ట్ బి అ తత్వదర్శి ఇట్ ఈస్ ది తత్వదర్శి ఈస్ ది శ్రోత్రేయం బ్రహ్మనిష్ట ఓన్లీ ఎ బ్రహ్మనిష్ట వన్ హూ ఈస్ ఇన్ బ్రహ్మనిష్ట ఈస్ తత్వదర్శి అదర్వైజ్ ఈస్ నాట్ తత్వదర్శి జస్ట్ బికాస్ యూ ట్రావెల్ 10,000 miles in a year in the aeroplane and collected all the air miles doesn't mean that you are a tattvadarshi, are you? Do you become a tattvadarshi? There are so many businessmen also traveling more than you in this world. She's got more air miles than us. Doesn't mean he's tattvadarshi. So air miles doesn't make a tattvadarshi. Shrotriyam brahmanishtam. That comes from the process. That process you can't change. You can't make your own process and start saying that he is realized in these ways. It doesn't work like that. Shamilpani Shrotriyam Brahmanishtam. So after talking about a spiritual master, who should be a spiritual master, you can learn in this chapter, in the 19th chapter. And then what does he say? Who should be a disciple? That's the next thing, isn't it? So, and here, disciple has come and that disciple is ready. What else is indicating? If a proper disciple is ready for self-realization, a proper guru, Krishna will bring him and put him in front of that person. This important principle is in this 19th chapter. It is not institutional. It is not official. You cannot do it. This will only work if you want genuinely spiritual life. It can only happen to a person when he is ready for that. And if he is ready, the person who will give him that knowledge, just like in the case of Parikshit, Krishna brought Shuddha Brahma Rishi and threw him in front of him. Same way, no matter who it is in this world, Krishna will bring that person and bring him and put him in front of you. That is the way Bhagavatam goes. So we'll discuss it tomorrow. All glories to Srila Prabhupada.